from the KISS 92.5 studios in Toronto.
Are you ready?
Ladies and gentlemen.
Roz.
Yes.
And Mocha.
It's Roz and Mocha. What's going on?
Hey guys, this is Bruno Mars.
This is Selena Gomez.
The Chainsmokers.
Lady Gaga.
Calvin Harris.
Celestia Carr.
This is Ed Sheeran.
You're listening to my boys Roz and Mocha.
Roz and Mocha.
My boys Roz and Mocha.
The Roz and Mocha Show.
Between Roz and Mocha, who is your favorite?
Roz.
Mocha.
Roz.
I think Mocha.
You guys are so funny, man.
Congratulations, Lisa! Wow!
You just won $1,000.
That is amazing. Y'all just made my entire morning. Keep it up.
You guys are awesome, man.
This is the Roz and Mocha Show.
Podcast.
I'm just going to get into something here, but I don't know how much time I have because I really have to pee. But...
Okay.
But we got to do it anyway. So I asked Maury to get me the latest on the Hurricane Florence story. Excuse me. And so he sent me a story. Come on in here, Maury. So Maury sent me the latest for what he could find on the hurricane. Because it's an incredible story. And the subject line that Maury wrote me for the hurricane story was hurricane, spelt H-O-R-R-I-C-A-I-N.
Sorry, hold on. I have to...
Write it down.
Yes.
Okay.
H-O-R-R-I-C-A-I-N. Hurricane.
Yeah. Okay, and I'm going to say this. In the story that he sent me, the word hurricane was the third word, about the 12th word, about the 26th word. It's all over the story.
Can I tell you?
Okay, hurricane.
The way Maury spelled hurricane like that,
yes.
And the way I read it,
yes,
is basically, like, that's Guyanese right there.
Right.
Like, if a Guyanese person were to read that story, they would be like, hurricane.
Yes.
Hurricane
a becoming.
That's exactly how you spelled it. Hurricane.
Okay, Maury, do you want to take another shot at hurricane?
Okay.
More. Go ahead.
Okay. H U R R Y C A N E.
Hurricane.
Hurry up. Hurricane.
Okay. One more time. More.
Okay.
Hurricane. H E A R C A N E.
Hurricane.
Okay, next. The word, Maury, your word
hurricane.
Is hurricane.
H E R C A N E.
Okay, come on now.
H E R. H U R.
Oh.
Her. R.
Oh, wait, no, that's right. That's right.
H U R R. A C A N E.
Hurricane?
Hurricane.
Next.
H. U R R her I her A K A N E
K. That would look Russian if you spelt it that way.
You want to try again?
One more time.
Her H U R R.
I don't have to pee anymore, so we can do this forever.
Okay.
Her H U R R her I. Hurricane C A N E.
Oh.
Kane. Cane is C-A-N-E. H-U-R-R-I-C-A-N-E.
Hey!
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Maury sent me earlier a story about the hurricane. I asked him to get me the latest on the hurricane. And what he sent me in the subject matter in the email was hurricane, but he spelled it H-O-R-R-I-C-A-I-N.
Yeah, hurricane.
Hurricane. And eventually you got it right. Eventually Maury came around to...
Like most things in life, you'll eventually get it.
Figure out how to spell hurricane. And how was that again, Maury?
H-U-R-R-I-C-A-N-E.
Correctamundo. But I pulled up my kids' spelling test, I believe, for this week.
She just went a week?
Mind blown, huh, Mar?
Wow.
Do you want to do some, grade three words, Mar?
Oh, no.
Yes.
Okay. So,
you don't sound very confident.
Well, I mean, you got to learn them eventually.
It's right. Yeah. Okay. You have to learn them eventually. How old are you?
40.
40. Sometimes you're 40 and you realize that hurricane is not spelled H-O-R-R-I-C-A-I-N. Sometimes that happens. You learn it at 40, but you eventually learn it, right?
Yeah, eventually everything will come around.
Eventually everything will come around. Hold All right.
Let me get everything set. Okay, ready.
Okay.
Can I just for some motivation, can I hear the right?
Yep.
The ding? Yeah.
There you go.
Okay. Happy now?
Yes, it helps.
Okay, Maury, your word is examine. Examine.
I-X.
Did you say I-X?
Yeah, examine.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Examine.
Yep.
Okay. It's an E-X. A-M-I-N-E.
Correct. Maury. Keep in mind, these are great three words. Don't look so proud.
Wow. I want him to sweat a bit. Okay. You were nervous just now. I can see the look on your face.
Maury, your word is scar.
Okay, like on your face.
Sure.
S.
Wait.
Like on your face.
I don't know, guys. Is this real life? I feel like David after the dentist. Is this real life? Okay, go. Scar.
Scar.
Okay, scar.
S-C-A-R-R.
What?
I knew he wasn't going to get it.
He said scar, not scar.
Maury just walked out of the ring. Man. Get back in the ring.
Get out of here.
Get back in the ring. Sit down.
Scar. Scar.
Okay, I think you know where you went wrong on that one, Maury. Maury, your word is tentacle.
Oh, no.
Okay.
I'm just going to start like that.
You use it in a sentence.
Okay.
Use it in a sentence, first of all, Maury. Tentacle.
Tentacle. Whoa, your tentacle hangs low. Oh.
Yeah, I'll give it to you.
Oh my god.
I'll give it to you. Okay, I'll give it to you.
Okay, now spell tentacle.
Okay, now spell tentacle, Maury.
T-E-N-T-I-C-L-L-E.
Tentacle?
What is happening?
Tentacle.
Okay. Yeah, one more attempt.
Don't worry. We still got to get to cylinder.
that's the last one. Okay. Tentacle.
Last one more. Tentacle.
T-E-N-T. Tent. T-E-N-T. 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 Tent.
Bro, how many T's are you adding to this word?
T-E-N-T. I-C-L-E.
No, again, tentacle. Tentacle is T-E-N-T-A-C-L-E, Maury. Okay, Maury, we'll end this off with cylinder.
Okay,
Maury,
cylinder.
Spell cylinder.
Whoa, can you fit in the cylinder?
Yeah. No is the answer. No, I cannot fit in the cylinder.
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 Cylinder. S-I- Like, okay, cylinder. C, S-I-L-I-N-D.
Well, I have no idea what. I'm just throwing out random words. Random letters.
Cylinder. This is a great three words, Maury.
Well, sorry for them.
Okay.
C, yes. Sil, S-I-L. Okay, Sil, S, C-S-I-L.
C-S-I?
Like science?
Okay, can you just give it to him, please?
Maury, cylinder, would you believe, is spelt? I'll give you a letter and then you guess what comes after.
Okay.
C.
I.
C.
I.
C.
A.
Calendar? Cylinder. C.
Y.
Y. L.
Yeah.
I.
None.
N.
D.
D.
F. E
R right.
That damn why.
Yeah, the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
I want to talk about house rules real quick, Roz.
Like at a casino?
No.
Oh.
In your home or in the home of somebody that you know. We've talked about this multiple times on the show that the Dammits, Dammit Maury and his husband Dammit Matthew, there are multiple rules in their condo.
So many rules.
Stipulated by Matthew, directed at Maury.
Because Maury's not allowed to do anything at home.
I have four
anything.
Of them here.
You have four rules here.
I've written down four. Okay. So the obvious one, I can't touch the temperature unless Matthew's home.
Correct.
The other one is no bare feet in the bed, always right. in a sock, especially when you've buttered them.
Right.
don't put your head on Matthew's pillow as the oils mix. Right. With his oils and yeah. it'll cause pimples.
Yeah.
And that's so weird.
The bedroom throws are not allowed to be used on the sofa throws.
Right.
Like you can't use the bedroom blankets in the living right. room.
Yes, you can never bring a bedroom blanket out to the living room.
The reason
soiled.
Why I bring up house rules is because this thread on Reddit took off, dude.
Okay.
And again, what are the strangest house rules you've seen in a person's house? I'm going to read a couple of these to you. My cousins always had weird ass rules about which cups were acceptable to use for which beverages at their house. I can't tell you how many times I would go to get a cup of water just to have one of them appear out of thin air beside me and scream, "That's a smoothie cup! What are you doing?" Or go to pour myself a cup of milk only to be berated for using a juice cup. Whenever I went to a friend's house, I wasn't ever actually allowed inside. Instead, we always hung out in the trailer that was parked right outside of his place. And if we needed to use the bathroom, the mother forced us to go in a bucket.
What?
That sounds
what
weird.
What was going on in that house?
Somebody else on this thread on Reddit wrote, my friend's mom was a huge germaphobe, so she kept bottles of hand sanitizer and stacks of napkins by the door, and you had to use them before entering the house. If you didn't, she'd close the door in your face. Wow. Also, she required anyone who wanted to pet her dog or cat, you had to brush them before and after to help, quote, diminish any harmful human toxins.
Oh my God.
Okay, I have a couple more to read.
Yeah.
My dad had a strict rule, no music with words.
Excuse me.
So instrumentals only.
Yes. Somebody else wrote, my cousin's house when I was a kid, there was, quote, no reading during the day rule. And finally, strangest house rules you've seen in a person's house. This person wrote, I was yelled at for quickly blurting out the question to a $200 Jeopardy answer. Apparently, they all played the game quietly, individually, and tallied the scores after.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
What are the strangest house rules Jeez. You've seen in a person's house? Maddie, strangest house rule in your house or in somebody that you know?
It was in my friend's house at the time.
Okay, go.
I guess they had really strict house rules, and they were not allowed to use a set of staircase, like a set of stairs in their house. So they had to use the back staircase as their parents were allowed to use the big and fancy ones.
Oh, so
there was a parents only staircase in the house?
Yeah, and like when they were out, we would try to use them and we would get in so much trouble.
Wait, what was so special about the staircase though?
It was just like wooden staircase.
And I guess just hardwood floors.
It was gonna, yeah, I guess they were scared it was gonna like get scratched.
Yeah, because kids ruin everything. I grew up with a kid who the mom and dad could leave and enter the house through the front door.
Yeah.
But when the kids were alone, they weren't allowed to use the front door. They had to use the garage door.
No.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
At the same house, they were not allowed in the house without the parents. So they would have to stay like in the garage.
Those sound like some trustworthy kids.
Wow. Yeah. Thanks for listening and thanks for your text, Maddie.
Okay, thanks guys. Have a nice day.
Hi, Roz and Mocha. What's your name?
Hey, this is Amy.
Amy.
Yeah, right.
Okay, fake name, Amy. Weird house rule. Are we talking in your house or is somebody that you know?
No, this is definitely in my house.
Okay, go.
My husband is so picky. I'm not allowed to put dishes in the sink because he feels like he can't put anything in the sink and wash them correctly. So everything has to be put to the side. I'm not allowed to walk barefoot in the house. And then sleep in the bed. So if I've already been walking around barefoot, I have to wash my feet first.
Wow. No, are you serious?
Yep. And then no one's allowed in his man cave while he's playing Call of Duty.
Let me ask you a question. It sounds like you married a weird 14-year-old.
I kind of did in a way. I mean, he's a geek at heart, I guess.
So if you're walking around the house with no shoes on, you got to wash your feet before you go to bed?
Yeah. So now I make sure that I bought my flip-flops from my my shoes by the door. Brutal. And then I use her inside.
Brutal. Hey, thanks so much for the call, love.
No problem. Bye-bye. Thanks.
Here we go.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
As somebody who is a huge fan of bread and cheese, I've always been drawn to France, especially Paris.
And Air Transat flies daily to Paris.
They have these trucks. I know they have them in Paris, and they also have them down in Cannes. And they're these trucks, like food trucks that you have in any city. Mm-hmm. And you just go up to it, and what they deliver to these food trucks every day are absolute just fresh, hot out of the oven baguettes. Ooh. And the most delicious meat that you could ever find anywhere, and fresh cheese. That's like cheese, like Parisian cheese just tastes different than regular cheese. And they just make it for you right there, and they put it in a long tube type bag, and you just walk through the streets eating. It's just, Paris is the greatest place in the world, and we know that what they say, that it's for lovers and it's like the city of lights and all this stuff, but you can actually do a lot of stuff with families there. So if you're looking for a family vacation, you want to go to Europe, look at Paris for the family.
Visit airtransat.com to learn more or to book your trip right now.
Also, do you speak any French?
No.
No? Yes, you do. You speak a little French.
Like, bonjour.
Bonjour.
And like, comment ça va?
You don't pronounce the R on the end of bonjour?
Are you supposed to?
Bonjour. Yeah. I don't think somebody says bonjour.
Oh, that was bonjour.
No, and I find when I'm in, when I don't speak
that's
the language somewhere.
French in high school, bro.
I find that I get better service at places, like when you're in a Spanish-speaking or French-speaking country. I find that I get better service if I speak in English, but with a French accent. Do you know what I mean?
No.
Yeah. Like if I order a beer.
Yeah.
Like if I'm in France and I order a beer, I'll order a beer in English but with a French accent.
Like, may I have a beer?
Yeah, like that. Yeah.
Wait, no, that was very Borat.
That was Borat, but same thing. But you know what I mean? Like, I love a beer, please. Like that. And I find that I get better service. So maybe do that when you're there if you don't speak the language too well. I would suggest ordering your food with a French accent.
All right, hang on here. Let's take a phone call real quick.
Perfect.
Hey, what's going on? It's Roz and Mocha.
Hi, it's Amanda and Melody. We're both calling today, and we were both wondering. We just saw your commercial.
Uh-huh.
We were wondering why Dammit Murray isn't included in it.
Ah.
I mean, you guys look fabulous, by the way, but just wondering.
Okay. And so you're talking about the TV commercial, the Roz and Mocha Tear Squad, right?
We're the pink suits and the Roz and Mocha. Roz and Mocha.
First of all, it's a ton of fun. It was one of the greatest days we've ever had. Now, here is the thing. Thank you so much for calling in. We knew that this was going to happen. Years ago, when we did another commercial, we put in the commercial an Easter egg. And when you say Easter egg, it means something that is there that fans have to find.
Okay.
And in this commercial, there is another Easter egg.
Okay.
And if you watch the commercial close enough, if you pause it and rewind and slow-mo and everything else, you will see that for one frame, there is a glorious, beautiful, day-changing shot of Dammit Maury in a cheerleading uniform jumping like he's never jumped before.
Okay, all right, okay, so he is in it.
Oh, and with the belly and the legs and the pom-poms and everything else. You just now, your job and everybody else listening to this, your job now is to find that shot in the commercial, screen, like take a picture of yourself in front of your television with that shot of Dammit Maury and put that out on social media with the hashtag Razamoka, hashtag Cheer Squad. And that is now the mission, to find the shot of Dammit Maury in the commercial. And we're not going to tell you where it happens.
And I'll tell you this right now, Amanda, because the commercial just started airing and it's going to be ramping up and it's going to be on TV for a while, you have quite a lot of time to dedicate to finding Dammit Maury in the new Roz and Mocha Show commercial.
Right.
Well, see, that's good to know, because here we were just thinking, wow, that's so mean. My daughter's like, they include him in it.
No, he is. Maury is 100% in it, and Maury is now the goal. Finding Dammit Maury in the commercial and taking a picture of yourself in front of your television with that shot of Dammit Maury, that is now the goal for you and everybody else who listens and loves this show. I would like to say that if you enter, you can win some money and stuff like that, but we didn't even set anything up like that.
No, it's just for fun.
It's just for fun. I may throw some money in a pot. I don't know. I haven't decided yet. But in the meantime, just do that. Find the shot of Dammit Maury, pause it, and then take a picture of yourself, put it out on social, anywhere on social. Use tag us in it. So it's tag us, and then add hashtag Razamoka, hashtag Cheer Squad, and we'll get that going.
Yeah, at Roz Weston, R-O-Z-W-E-S-T-O-N, at Mocha Frap, M-O-C-H-A-F-R-A-P. All right?
Yes, thank you guys so much. You guys definitely make both of our morning.
All right. Oh, wait. Amanda and Melody, before we let you go, between Roz and Mocha, who's your favorite?
Oh, Mel, choose first.
Melody, go.
I don't know.
Well, you got to pick now.
Mocha.
Okay. Amanda.
Oh my gosh. I'm going to have to say Roz, but although Mocha, you have a very infectious laugh that definitely gets it going every morning.
So split decision.
So Mocha then.
Yeah.
No, Roz, I totally love you guys.
Great.
The thing is, you didn't give any reasons for Roz. Yeah. You just gave me like three. Yeah.
And guess what? When I throw money into a pot for somebody to win for Finding Maury in the commercial, you're not eligible. I make the rules. It's my rules. My contest.
Screw the rules.
Yes, my contest now.
Thanks, Amanda.
Thank you guys so much.
Bye.
Right on.
Hey. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Hello. It's Roz and Mocha. Who's this?
Hi, good morning, guys. This is Ivana.
Ivana, what's going on? Welcome to the show.
I'm calling because I was just listening to you guys talking about Dammit Maury being in that commercial.
Yeah. Oh, in the new Roz and Mocha commercial, yeah.
I love it, but I called BS on that because the way you guys were talking about that, like, 0% of me believe that he's okay. In it.
Ivana, the new Roz and Mocha commercial where we're in the pink suits and the cheer squad's behind us doing the dancing. We promise you, promise, with everything, put this on everything. Dammit Maury is in that commercial and you need to look for it.
I will definitely not look for it, but what I will look for is people who look for it. I want videos of people who are actually going to sit there.
Oh!
Okay, what?
Hold on! Ivana! I'll tell you right now, somebody legit just tweeted. Scott Jarvis just tweeted, said, found him.
Yeah.
He found the clip of Dammit Maury in the commercial.
You're going to make my day. If I see this picture, I'm only going to be happier to see Dammit Maury in it. But the way you guys were talking about it was like you're pulling someone's leg. You're like, take your time.
It's legitimately one frame, right?
I thought that Ross said that too. He's like, by the way, it's one frame. Like, it's
yes.
Like finding a needle in a haystack. And I'm like,
listen, Scott Jarvis literally just found it and he tweeted it.
But Scott Jarvis broke the rules because you have to take a picture of yourself with that in the background, the still of Dammit Maury.
Right.
So Scott Jarvis is not eligible for the contest that does not exist.
I'm going to make that my background on my phone.
All right.
That's my thing. Like, if that is the truth, it's going to be the background on my phone for 1 week.
Ivana, please, whenever you get a chance, please look for that frame in the new Roz and Mocha TV commercial. You will see it. I promise you that.
It's a hard no on my part, I'm looking for the selfie, guys. I can't wait to see.
All right.
Bye, girl. Thanks for listening.
Okay, guys. Love you.
All right. Love you, too. Oh, wait. Between Roz and Mocha, who's your favorite?
I have to say, oh, God. Mocha. He's a little more lovable. Roz, you're amazing. Mocha is a little more lovable.
Yeah, girl.
All right, nobody asked.
What are you talking about? Yeah. Thanks, Ivana.
Mocha.
Bye.
Here we go. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Question. You fart in front of your wife?
Do I what?
Fart in front of your wife?
Oh, all the time.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
We're at that point in the relationship.
Yeah, I'm reading an article. It's sort of ridiculous, this stupid article.
And I will, I will tell her, be like, babe, you may want to leave.
Okay. They say partners who fart in front of each other are more likely to have lasting relationships, according to a new study. First of all, I don't know where this website is from. I don't know if they actually conducted a study. I'm reading it. I'm halfway through. And to me, it sounds complete junk, clickbait, whatever. But let's talk about it.
Okay.
But it's how they go on to describe what farts do in a relationship.
Okay.
And so, Murray, do you fart in front of Matthew?
We both do all the time.
You both do all the time. Wow, that's
the way you say it.
We've gone pro.
Yeah, all the time.
How are we supposed to win if we don't train?
All the time. All right.
Okay, so some of the reasons that they list that it makes a relationship stronger, because I will say this, like, I fart in front of Catherine, and I wouldn't say Catherine particularly enjoys it. I would say she tolerates it.
Sure.
Right? Like, yeah. I don't think that she's looking at this as if this openness that we have between us suddenly makes us stronger. That's what this article is saying. They're saying that once you as a couple get to the point of where you're farting in front of each other, yeah, you should both recognize that you've reached that next level.
Right.
Where I don't think most women do. I think they tolerate it. They're not going to dump you over it.
No, and they're not going to be like, oh, congrats, that was a good one.
Congrats, now we've hit that level. We're next level now.
Like the Dammits, we've gone pro.
We've gone pro.
We do congratulate each other.
No, you
okay,
don't.
So they say farts are a sign of ultimate comfort. Farts are a sign of ultimate comfort. If you're comfortable enough to toot in front of your partner, there isn't much you can hide from them.
Yes, there is.
Yeah, there is, Mary. Yes, there is.
Exclusive. Yeah.
Okay, number two on the list. This is the one where I'm just like, if I tried to pull this off, man. So they say number two, farts. They express playfulness.
Oh, come on. I don't know.
Yeah.
No, they don't.
No, they don't.
They express relief.
They express relief. And what usually happens is I will fart, and Catherine always looks at me and goes, why did you push it? It wasn't ready. And I'm like, I didn't push it. It was like, and my belly was hurting. She's like, I felt the couch move. You pushed it. Don't push it. Just let it happen. I go, they don't just fall out. I have to assist them in some way.
Sure.
And she's like, so I get murdered for pushing it, because then she thinks it's deliberate and she takes it personally. Far from playfulness, right? So number two on the list was farts. They express playfulness. Farts equal inside jokes is number three. It's not a joke that we have together.
Yeah.
Right?
No, but it's something you share together. It's not something you do at dinner.
We don't share it together. No, maybe it's because you live with two guys. You don't live with a woman.
Well, yeah.
Guys are different with farts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Women,
we're proud
like,
of them.
Believe me, if I live with Evan Gillis, who I went to grade 8 with, and we used to make bets, and whoever lost had to fart in the other guy's mouth.
Oh,
right?
That is like, so gross, dude.
If I was gay disgusting. And went on to marry a guy like Evan, we would probably, it would be moments of joy,
yeah,
congratulating each other. But that's when you live disgusting. With a woman, when you live with a woman, rarely are farts inside jokes.
Yeah, no.
Right? They're outside smells.
They are.
Right?
And sometimes just disgusting.
Yeah.
Poor Evan.
Okay, number four, farts. They show you've got nothing to hide.
I don't know about that.
Okay, so and number five, farts. It's the absolute most beautiful thing to see your partner exactly as they are and still love them.
What, like au naturel? Is that
yeah,
what it means?
It's like when your partner farts, they say, you should look at them and go, this is you, the most comfortable in your natural state, free as a bird. Look at you. That doesn't happen.
No, it definitely doesn't happen. It's usually
right?
Like, oh, God, that's gross.
It's gross.
You're disgusting.
Out of the room.
Here. Yeah, leave
out
for
of
10
the
minutes.
I have got up out the bed and walked over to the door and just like opened the door a crack and put my butt through the door and farted in the hall. And then waited.
Yeah.
Open the door, close the door, open the door, close the door, open the door, close the door, fan out the hallway a little bit, and then crawled back into bed. And I did this when Catherine was sleeping.
All that work? She'll never know.
Maury, you will never know the wrath of anything in your life than the wrath of waking up a woman with a fart.
Here we go.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Do we have time to do some back in the day stuff here?
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay, so 49 years ago in 1969, Scooby-Doo debuted on CBS.
Oh, yeah?
And then 32 years ago in 1986, Pee-wee's Playhouse debuted on CBS. And this is one of those magical days because you and Maury have forever been fighting on who does the best sort of voices. And
was it me?
Well, no, I mean, the jury is still out.
on the big one was Morgan Freeman on Who Does the Best Morgan Freeman.
Oh, did you call for me? I happen to be in the neighborhood. It's Morgan Freeman here.
I don't know who that is, but this is the real.
Call Morgan the police. Freeman. There's an imposter.
And then
there.
The other one is Forrest Gump.
What, Jenny?
Jenny, don't listen to that. Man, he is an imposter, Jenny.
Oh, see.
Mama always said, I'm the real Forrest Gump.
No, you're back to Morgan Freeman.
I do a bad impression of Morgan Freeman.
And I discovered years ago that Mocha does an amazing Pee Wee Herman. Yeah. Like, that sounds like you're playing the clip from the show.
Right?
Yes.
What the hell was that, bro?
It's Pee Wee Herman.
Do we have examples over there? Do you have a Pee Wee Herman example?
Morning, Pee Wee.
Oh my God, it's my favorite.
Little Francis.
Today is my birthday, and my father said I can have anything I want.
Good for you and your father.
So guess what I want?
A new brain.
No, your bike.
Right. Perfect.
What's so funny, Pee-wee?
It's not for sale, Francis.
Right. And then Scooby-Doo. Do you have a Scooby-Doo over there? First of all, Maury, you said that you do a great Scooby-Doo.
Zoink! Look over there, Scooby!
No, that's not... That's Shaggy. Do Scooby.
Zoink!
No. Okay. Do Scooby.
Is that, okay, so what would he sound like then?
Do you know who Scooby-Doo is?
Yeah, it's the name of the whole show.
Right.
No, but who is Scooby-Doo?
Zoink!
No, that okay. That's do Shaggy. That's Shaggy. Do Scoob.
I'm walking.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now do Scoob. Don't put your hand in your mouth. What are you putting your hand in your mouth for? Okay. So, would you like to start a conversation as Scoob? With Mocha, would you like to do your part of the conversation as Pee Wee?
Would I?
Okay.
Zoink! No, is that
Maury,
over there?
Maury, that's Shaggy still. Do Scoob.
I'm over here. Who's over there? Zoink, it's me!
So you're doing two characters now? You're that talented.
I'm going to have to.
Okay, you're that talented. You can do, you can do two characters.
Yeah. Pee Wee Herman just left.
Yeah.
He had to go ride his bike, so
right.
Why doesn't, like, Scooby and Shaggy just continue the conversation?
Fair enough.
What were you going to need him back in the room? Zoink, he left the room! What room were you in? Yo-yo-hoo!
Excuse me?
Here we go.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
What are you giving me? Is this a tweet?
Yes.
From Jessica Schulman. Damn it, Maury, Roz and Mocha. Bring the shofar to the station tomorrow. It's the Jewish New Year.
Yay! Happy New Year.
Can you talk us through who
we do it now,
non-Jews? Yeah. Do you want to do it now? I don't know.
So it's we're celebrating the Jewish New Year. It's year 5779.
Okay.
So we're way ahead of you people.
Way ahead of you. I mean, you people. Look at Mocha's face when he said that.
You people.
You people that are only celebrating 2018. So it's year 5779. And to sort of, I guess, ring in the new year, the rabbi or somebody in front of the congregation will blow the shofar, which used to be the signal for battle.
Okay.
And I bought my shofar in the early 90s with my legal guardian, Susie, in Israel.
Right. Okay, cool. And you and Mocha have done this many times before.
Yeah.
Mocha's very good with the script and doing his part. And your face.
Do you want to read the script this year?
I want to make sure I am saying these right. Is it Takaya?
Takia.
Oh, Takia. Shevaram?
Yeah, sure.
you're supposed to know
this. Don't worry about it.
Shevaram. Teruah.
Teruah. And
Takia Gadola.
Takia Gadola. Okay.
And
Takia Gadola.
And one of the greatest parts about this, and we are filming this, by the way, is that Maury's head looks like it's almost going to burst when he starts blowing the shofar.
Because it takes a lot of air out of your mouth.
So, Mocha, whenever you're ready, and what is that, a ram's horn? Is that what that is?
From the top of a ram.
Okay, I got
as
you.
Opposed to. As opposed to.
So I'll give you a little, I'll give you a little puff at first, okay?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's how it sounds.
Uh-huh.
So I'm ready whenever you are.
What happens if you blow?
One more time. Okay.
All right. Are you ready?
What was your question? What, have you blow the other end?
Yeah, but then. Yeah.
Okay. Maybe we do a couple like that.
Yeah.
Can we do that, or is that disrespectful?
That's disrespectful.
Is it though?
Yeah.
It's a horn that you're blowing into. How disrespectful can that be if you just blow into the other end?
It's from Israel.
I know, but it's still a horn. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Well, okay. First, the proper way of blowing the shofar. Okay. Now the other way, the alternative way. Okay.
Okay. Celebrating the year 5779.
Okay. Yeah.
Ready?
Yeah.
All right. Tequila!
Wait. Wait.
There you go.
All right. What is it? A Chevram?
Chevram! Okay.
You okay? Terua!
Hold on a second.
Maury pulled something internally.
Hold.
Okay. Yeah.
Terua!
Wait.
What are you supposed to do in this one? Little tiny beeps?
It says nine or ten short staccato sounds.
Okay. That's okay. Like 30, but okay.
And finally, tequila gandola!
Wait.
Bro, all these sound exactly the same.
Hold on. Okay, here we go.
Yeah.
Say it again.
Tequila gandola!
Wait.
Can you just try one on the other end?
Okay. Hold on, I gotta get this. Okay. Wait.
Bro, we've been waiting. Hurry up.
Terrible sound.
Podcast.
So weird wearing a windbreaker yesterday.
You wore a windbreaker?
Well, what to break mean? The wind.
Like an old K-way? Like the kind that you would like wrap up into a little bag and wear it around your waist?
Pretty much. It's the same material.
God, those jackets were useless because they didn't even really block the rain, right?
No. I used to love those. I had a blue one.
Yeah.
You can still buy them now, but they're like mad expensive because they sell them at Holtz.
Yeah. Did your mom ever give you a garbage bag to wear when you had to like go on a field trip or something like that and it might rain but you didn't have a raincoat?
For trick-or-treating.
Just take a garbage bag and just cut a hole for it for your head?
I think maybe for trick-or-treating.
Yeah.
That's
embarrassing, huh?
Yeah.
It's the worst.
I think. That sounds very familiar.
Yeah. Trick-or-treating was the worst. Also trick-or-treating when you had to wear like your winter coat over top of your costume.
Yeah, because then what's the point?
Ugh, what's the point?
And then you want to unzip your jacket.
Yeah.
Your parents will tell you to zip up your jacket. And be like, you crap on my style, though. Yeah. How am I going to be able to show people my costume?
Yeah. And you're going to go through this because every parent does. We went through this with Roxy a couple of years where she had like a real kick-ass costume that she was super proud of.
Yeah.
And it just so happened that it was freezing cold on Halloween. And we fought like hell because she didn't want to wear a jacket over it. And the compromise was, okay, I will carry your jacket behind you.
Yeah.
And when you get cold, because you will get cold, you're going to come and you're going to ask me for the jacket and we're going to put the jacket on. How's that for a compromise? And she was like, dope, no problem. And then she trick-or-treated for 2 hours without her jacket.
Are you going to,
probably freezing though,
freezing
right?
Freezing cold.
In her mind,
but she wasn't gonna break.
Yeah, in her mind she's like, oh man, I wish I can go get that jacket from my dad right now.
No, she was not gonna break. Like, kids are tough, man, because especially with Halloween, like those costumes mean everything and not gonna. But I remember back in the day, before trick-or-treating, you got your costume on. It wasn't even anything elaborate. I think back in the day my mom dressed me up either as a woman or a hobo, where you know, dressing like a homeless person was suddenly acceptable at one time.
Yeah,
where she would take coffee grounds and rub them on your face so you have like a 6 o'clock shadow kind of thing.
A dirty beard,
right? It's like it was so inappropriate. Actually, inappropriate.
You know what? I do remember growing up, my next door neighbor, Steven.
Yeah.
His mom dressed him up as a hobo as well.
Yeah, dirty ripped up clothes. Yeah. Like, it was an easy costume. You just go to your old man's work closet and get an old greasy shirt.
I was always just flight attendant.
Flight attendant?
Yeah.
What did you wear for flight attendant?
I would wear my air cadet outfit, like, you know, the hat, pointy hat or whatever.
Yeah.
And like a blue tie kind of thing.
Right.
And my dad had like an airplane button kind of thing.
So you were an air cadet.
Yeah, but I said, flight attendant.
I would
go around offering, like, you know, pretend I was giving out drinks and stuff.
What?
Yeah.
Hold on. So you would knock on somebody's door, and instead of saying trick or treat, you would say, can I offer you anything to drink?
No, it'd be like, what are you? I'm a flight attendant. Would you like a Pepsi or Coke?
I've met my life growing up, when you're a kid, and you hear stories from all over the world, the games kids play when they're younger. You know, Manhunt and War and even board games and D&D and all this stuff. And even if you got addicted to video games early on, never once in my life have I heard another human being say that when they were a kid, they used to play flight attendant.
Pretzels and peanuts.
Here we go. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Hello, Roz and Mocha. What's up?
Oh my God. Hi.
Hi. Who's this?
It's Melissa. I texted you about Warren playing 5 and 7.
Hey, Melissa, what is it about 5 and 7 that you enjoy?
I play along and I haven't won either yet.
Oh, really? So you're just like Maury. You haven't won.
No.
Oh, okay.
I have every question that I've ever asked, damn it, Maury, in 5 and 7, I have on my phone.
Oh, really?
Right? Yeah, I do. It's all in one thing. And I've before sat at the table with myself, Roxy, and like 3 or 4 friends, and we'll just play 5 and 7.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a ton of fun. Like, it's really, and there's people are arguing, and it's very stressful. Like, I know that listening to Maury sort of bumble his way through it, and it's understandable that he's never got one right. But when you play it with people who think that they're going to like kill at it, it's very difficult. Like, we get very few winners when we actually play 5 and 7.
My favorite 5 and 7 questions are when you ask him to say stuff in French.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I do too.
So I don't know if we can do this, Roz, but as a special request for Melissa, and maybe as a special request coming from me.
Right.
What if we played 5 and 7, and since you just said you have all the questions, can we go back and every question you ask him is about something in French?
Something in French.
Can we do like an all French edition of 5 and 7?
Like French immersion version?
Yeah.
I think French.
But it would now not be called 5 and 7. It would be like set a set.
Yeah, Maury, set a set. Don't give him the answers, girl. Stop giving him the answers.
Okay, Melissa, we're going to hang up with you. Love you lots, Melissa. Take care.
Thanks, bye.
This is 5 and 7.
Okay. So again, Maury, this is the French immersion version of 5 and 7. All answers given in today's match will be given in French. Damn it, Maury, are you ready?
Okay.
Maury, name 5 colors in French.
Okay. In order? What would be the order? Bleu, rouge, gris, yi.
Loser.
What was the last one?
Yi.
What's yi?
Yellow.
What was gris?
Green.
Oh, okay. Yes. Okay.
Also, Maury,
I did need them in order.
Okay. What's the order?
Loser.
Next.
I don't know. That was your dumb question. Maury, name 5 odd numbers in French.
Trois, un, cinq. C'est.
Loser.
What?
C'est.
Huh?
C'est.
Say,
say,
say.
So what?
Say,
say.
So what?
Say.
All right, moving on with the French immersion version of 5 and 7. Maury, name 5 months in French.
Okay. Janvier, February, March. Arper.
Loser.
What was that last one?
Arper.
Arper? Arper?
What the hell is an arper?
Arper.
Arper.
Yeah. April.
Oh, April. Oh, Arper. Oh, Arp. The last time we did this, this gave us a Juvelon when Maury thought that was a day of the week in French. We'll try this one more time. Maury, name 5 days of the week in French.
Okay. Lundi, Mardi, Fard.
Lundi, Mardi, Fardy?
Loser.
What the hell is a Lundi, Mardi, Fardy?
Lundi, Mardi, Fardy.
I think I know them.
What, those your neighbors?
Lundi, Mardi, Fardy. It's like you're sitting there swiping through Grindr. Lundi, Mardi, Fardy. Lundi, Mardi, Fardy. Okay. Maury,
wait, just
okay.
Out of curiosity,
yeah.
What day is Fardy?
Wednesday.
Well, obviously.
Duh.
Okay, we will do one last one here. Okay. Very easy. Very easy. The easiest question that we could ask in the French immersion version of 5 and 7. Maury, name 5 letters of the alphabet in French.
A, B, C, D, B, C, D, A, B, C, D, A.
Loser.
A, B, C, D, A.
A, B, C, D, A.
You want to try again? No time limit this time.
Oh, yeah. It's okay. Here we go. Maury, are you ready? Go for it.
A, B, C, D, A. A, B, C, D, A. Fade. A, B, C, D, A. Fade. Nope. A, B, C, D, A.
A, B, C, D, A, F, J. A, B, C, D, A, F, J.
The Roz and Mocha Show Podcast.
I put the fire on last night.
You had to what?
We put the fireplace on last night.
Did you?
Yeah, like the gas one. Not like I wasn't burning logs or anything. But we had the fire on last night.
For the first time ever. In months, since April, this morning driving in, I had the heat on in
did
the car.
You?
I had to.
Did you put the heat on too, Maury?
I had to.
Didn't you know it was warm in the car?
What's that?
Didn't you notice it was a little steamy in there?
No, I always assume that it's stuff you're doing in the car before I get in the car that makes the car so hot.
I don't want to know. I don't want to know. I don't want to know.
Well, I like to just get it a little warmer.
Yeah, no, I didn't notice, actually, that the car was warm. How long did you have the heat on for?
Since yesterday.
You did? Really? Yeah, I didn't notice.
Like, I mean, I've turned the car off since yesterday, but I mean, the heat was on yesterday.
Yeah, we get that, Maury. Thank you. Nuts. But it was that kind of night last night.
I actually
good.
I put the blankets, like our extra winter blankets, all over the bed, too.
Extra winter blankets.
Like, we cover the bed with like 6 or 7 blankets.
Like you're a sultan?
Right? Like, I don't know. That's too hot, bro.
You guys just sit around smoking hookah in your underpants?
Wait, so when you have that many blankets, because we all know that you wear like thick ass pajamas to bed.
And winter socks.
And socks, because your husband won't let you have bare feet in the bed.
Mm-hmm.
Do you dress like less when you have 6, 7 blankets on there?
No, not at all.
No?
No.
See, I can't I can't do a lot of blankets on my feet because sometimes I have an ingrown toenail.
Yeah.
And the weight of the blankets really hurts when you have an ingrown.
Understood.
And you flip over or something like that, and the ingrown toe hits the weight of the blanket, and then I get a cat on my feet, and I got a whole bunch of stuff going on down there.
Oh, gross.
And then, so I can't put, I usually have my feet outside.
I just assume you're so tall that your feet just stick out from the bottom of the bed anyway.
Well, they do, but that's where you start running into problems. No, they do, actually. My feet
do
stick. Yeah, my feet do stick out the bottom of the bed. my feet do stick out the bottom.
Okay.
I've said this before, like if I lie in bed, if I lie in bed and if I spun a full 360 and you looked at the end of the bed, my feet would not be like, my feet would look like a propeller. Like at the end of the bed, like my feet aren't on the bed, like they're off the bed.
Can't you put a table at the end of the bed
if
on?
I fell asleep, you could sneak into the room and actually put shoes on me without me knowing.
Like a toddler early in the morning.
Here we go. The Roz and Mocha Show Podcast.
So we're a week in since Eminem released his Kamikaze album. And a lot of people were happy when he dropped the surprise album. Because nobody knew it was coming. And you get that classic M, who sounded like original Eminem. Mm-hmm. Angry. Verses were on point. But then as you take the 7 days to really dive into it and listen and try to figure out, sure, mumble rap is mumble rap and, you know, people don't like it.
Yeah.
But they have their fans. And some of the rappers that he's calling out in some of the songs, listen, they don't need his validation or endorsement because they have their fans that got their millions of dollars.
And
whatever.
Fighting with Eminem is not relevant.
No. He just sounds like an angry old guy.
Yeah.
So on a song called Not Alike.
I know what angry old guy sounds like.
You live that life all day, every day. So there's a song on the Kamikaze album called Not Alike.
Called?
Not Alike.
Not Alike. Okay. Yeah.
So it's basically M rapping about how different he is from all the rappers that are out there right now and the content that they're putting out.
Mm-hmm.
And when you listen to the track, it's a take on Migos, Bad and Bougie. The raindrop, drop top.
Yep. Okay.
Right? And in Eminem's case, he's doing that kind of flow. The words don't make sense. They're not supposed to. That's why the song's called Not Alike.
Day bag, iPod, Maybach, my butt, train wrecks, sidewalks, Payless, high tops, K bag, IHOP, Playtex, Icebox. That's how much we have in common. Yeah. That's how much we have in common. Whoa. Up on this mic when we're on it. Yeah. That's how much we have in common.
So somebody on Twitter
pointed
out that that part of the song for Not Alike from Eminem's Kamikaze album is a direct ripoff of 15-year-old Bad Baby, a.k.a. the Cash Me Outside girl.
No.
From her song that she released forever ago called Hi Bish.
Right.
White J's, white Porsche, white wrist, white horse. Hi bitch, hi bitch, hi bitch. I do not sniff it or roll it.
Nope. Wow.
It do not drip when I pull it.
Nope.
I do not run, I reload
nope.
it.
Nope.
I do not save it, I throw it.
Yeah, totally.
White J's, white Porsche.
Completely.
White wrist.
Right?
Completely.
So let's go back to Eminem, Not Alike.
Yeah.
Tell me this is not exactly the same.
Day bag, iPod, Maybach, my butt, train wrecks, sidewalks, Payless, high tops, K-Fed, IHOP. Playtex, Icebox. That's how much we have in common.
Yeah.
That's how much we have in common.
Whoa.
Up on this mic when we're on it.
Yeah.
That's how much we have in common.
Like, come on, exactly the same.
Yeah.
White J's.
If Bad Baby don't be making some money off of Eminem for this, come on.
She's got a gold record now, too.
She does. Listen, I used to be a hater.
The Cash Me Outside girl.
I used to be a hater.
And I told you.
I know.
I told you.
But I actually dig some of her music. Like, she got one song called Gucci Flip Flops, which is, I like that track.
I said she was just as good, maybe not just as good, but she is in the world of the other women in that genre. And I got murdered for saying that.
I cannot hate on Bad Baby anymore. But she did reply to the tweet.
Oh, she did?
Where somebody tweeted out, said, just me or is Eminem sounding a lot like Bad Baby? And she replied.
What'd she say?
I'll take that compliment.
Oh.
Em, you look stupid right now, bro.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
You know those headlines where they always talk about famous people, celebrities, where they're like, they're just like us. Look at them, they're shopping. They're just like us.
Of course. A lot of Gucci bags and Chanel purses.
The kid throws up down the back of your shirt. They're just like us. My zipper's undone. Hold on, I got to fix this before we continue. I often wonder if the most "they're just like us" person is Drake. And I know that his life is extravagant and being that famous would actually be a burden at points in your life. But the "he's just like us" part comes because Drake's sort of failed attempts at wooing women. I don't know if there's anybody else who has tried to woo or tried to start relationships with as many women and has failed publicly as Drake, even though he's super famous and rich and everybody loves him. Like, he goes on stage and is like, Rihanna, I love you. You're the love of my life. And she's like, no, man, don't even worry. Don't, and then stop. All the stuff just with J-Lo.
Stop talking.
Right?
Just stop talking.
Yeah. And then J-Lo is like, like this. Yeah. And J-Lo's
Christmas time pictures. Huggy, huggy. Yeah. Next thing you know, like 2 days later, she's like, boy, bye.
Like, so I imagine like Drake is just like you or like the somebody you know who, you know, is just really unlucky at love, has everything else, but is just really unlucky at love. But he fails publicly, which I sort of feel for the guy for whether he cares or not. I sort of feel.
I'm sure a little part of like inside it hurts.
Yeah, of course. Right? It does.
Because he's like, this news is going to get out and then people are going to think I'm still like a big dork.
So,
like, listen, I'm not Wheelchair Jimmy anymore.
So
I'm Drake.
Heidi Klum was on Ellen a while ago.
Okay.
And Ellen and Heidi Klum were playing Who'd You Rather? You know that game.
Yeah.
Ellen throws at two people and Heidi Klum is say who she'd rather.
Yeah.
And she kept picking Drake.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And then, so I guess this got back to Drake, or maybe he was just sitting around watching and he's like, oh my God, like, this supermodel is on television and she's playing the game Who'd You Rather and she keeps picking me.
Yeah. She'd rather me.
To me, that's a sign.
Yeah.
So
she's down with the sixth god.
He found her number and like,
how do you just find Heidi Klum's number?
They had a mutual friend. So he got her number and he texted her because she was on TV.
Yeah. National television.
Picking Drake.
Yeah.
So he texted her. But I guess Heidi Klum had just met her boyfriend right around that time, like a week later after she did that.
So she would rather not Drake.
So she ghosted him.
Yeah.
And the only reason why I know she ghosted him is because Heidi Klum went on Ellen yesterday and told this story.
Who called you out of those two?
Oh my gosh. Drake, he did.
Drake called you.
He did. Basically, like a week too late. Yeah.
Wait, he called like a week after it aired?
I don't remember when it was. He texted me and I was like, oh my gosh, this is so weird. But then I never texted him back because I found the love of my life.
Wait, he texted you and you didn't even respond?
No.
Oh, no.
All right, first you don't buy your own laundry detergent. Now you don't even text Drake back when he reaches out to date you?
Like, what do you say?
You
like,
say,
you want to go out? And I'm like, no.
Still,
I'm embarrassed about it.
Yeah, well, you need to text him back and say, sorry, you know.
Where's the camera? Where should I... Drake, I'm sorry I didn't text you back.
Yeah.
But, yeah. You're cool.
Yeah.
I still love your music.
Yeah.
I still love your music. I'll probably come to the concerts very soon.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah, thanks.
No, she didn't say dirty. I will. She said I'll probably. Yeah.
So dirty to do that. It's so dirty.
Heidi, do you love me? She's like, nope.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Hey, it's Roz and Mocha. You texted in just now. What's your name?
It's Maria.
Maria, thanks for texting, by the way.
Hi.
925-555.
Hell yeah. What's up?
So I'm here. My tire pops. I'm on my way to work. My tire pops. So I get off at the off-ramp, and there's like a ton of construction going on, and not one person has offered. I've been here for 45 minutes. Not one person has offered to help. And there's cars just flying by. So I'm the type of person, the second, like if I see somebody on the road, I'll stop to ask if they need help. Mm-hmm. And so much for good karma.
Where are you right now?
I'm on the 404 in Bloomington.
So 404 in Bloomington, right? Where's that? I don't even know where that is.
Close. I work in Markham, so it's that towards there.
Listen, people don't stop on the side of the road anymore.
Yeah, people are jerks.
They're scared. People are scared.
That's true.
And they're scared of a lot of things. They're scared, one, that you are going to kill them. People are terrified.
Yeah.
And also people are scared of interactions with strangers that are taken the wrong way. And we don't help people anymore because we're just scared of all sorts of different things. And that's the reality. We're scared that we may get murdered, and then we're scared that you may get accused of something. You're scared that you're going to invade somebody's personal space.
Or
you're scared that you're going to be causing some sort of microaggression. You're scared that you're going to walk past somebody and say, need help. And they're going to go, what do I look, helpless? You're scared of all those things.
So that's the kind of world we live in. But also, Maria, are you still like on the side of the highway, like the off-ramp?
Yeah, I'm at the off-ramp. But I totally understand everything you said, but there's like 30 construction guys here are working on the road, yeah. And not one of them has offers.
Listen,
for those exact same reasons, they're scared too.
Yeah, they're scared too. They're scared too. You got CAA.
Like 4'11 with like no.
Doesn't matter though, Maria.
Doesn't matter.
Also, if you're on the side of the highway, even if you are at the off ramp, people are scared just to get out of their cars. Which I hope you're still in your car right now, because other drivers may not see you, may not be paying attention. Next thing you know, they fly by and they hit you over.
Let's put that in the category of afraid to die for many reasons.
Yeah.
You know, people are scared, but I agree. We should no longer, we shouldn't be living at a time and in a place where you're on the side of the road and people don't stop to help. The same thing happened to Catherine. Catherine had a blown tire and she pulled in, she managed to pull into a gas station. Like she was in the parking lot of a gas station and she had the tire wrench out and the jack and managed to jack up the car, but she didn't have the weight to take out the lug nuts. And she was like standing on the tire wrench and everything else. And she just didn't have the weight to do it. And for 40 minutes, people drove in and out of that gas station while she's jumping up and down on a lug wrench and nobody offered to help her. Not one single person.
Unreal.
Yeah, it is. It's unreal. It is unreal, but we've created this world.
Yeah, I agree.
We did this.
So, Maria, did you call for help? Did you?
I did. Okay. I did, and I'm waiting. It's going to be a while, but. All
right. Well, whatever you do, don't get out of the car. You stay right there.
I will.
All right.
Thank you.
Sorry, hon. And I listen, if any of those construction guys are listening, because I know a lot of those dudes listen to this show, go and help her. You can see her right now. Yeah, just go. Change the tire for her so you don't got to call CAA and wait there and you're going to be 3 hours late for work. One of you dudes, just walk over. You tell her she can stay in the car and have her own space and it's going to be good. You're just going to change a tire.
Just to confirm, for any of those construction workers who may be working right now near where your car is broken down, Maria, you're not going to murder anyone, right?
No. Okay.
You're not going to accuse somebody of a microaggression if they walk up while you're in your own space?
Not at all.
Okay.
I'm like the nicest person in the world,
Okay, there you go. Help out Maria, please, somebody.
Thank you, Maria.
Thanks, guys. Bye, honey. Thank you. Here we go. The Roz and Mocha
Show podcast. Hi, it's Roz and Mocha. Who's this?
This is Trisha.
What's up, Trisha? How are you?
I'm good. Today is my first day of supply teaching. Yeah, so I'm a little nervous.
What grade?
Primary.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It can be from kindergarten to like grade 3, 4.
Yeah.
So it's a little nerve-wracking.
What is it about being a supply teacher for your very first day? What is it about it that's making you nervous right now?
Not knowing. I don't know the kids. I don't even know the school, really.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I'm just kind of going in and hoping everything's going to go good.
Yeah, the kids always try and railroad the new supply teacher. You know, they're like, no, we're not doing that. No, we read that last week. Yeah. No, just go and wheel in the big television and the VCR.
Oh, yeah, just try to get away with everything.
You know what I mean? No, we start every day with iPad time. No, you don't understand.
Yeah. Well, Trisha, good luck. There's nothing to be nervous about. I think you're going to be great.
Thank you, guys. And I just want to say I love both of you so much. I listen to you guys every morning.
Trisha, between Roz and Mocha, who's your favorite?
I have to say Roz, and I'm so
All right, thanks so much for the phone call.
No.
Enjoy your day supply teaching. I hope the kids treat you like trash.
No.
Oh, no.
No.
I'm kidding.
No.
I hope you break every single one of your pencils and a pen leaks all over your shirt.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. I will take that win. I will take that win.
I'm just kidding. You're going to be fantastic, Trisha.
Do you ever notice that it's people who are having terrible days always say that I'm their favorite?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Because you're like a permanent gray cloud.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks, Trisha.
Bye. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
I don't know what you're doing over there, but I love it. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Oh. Everywhere. What are you doing?
Amazon. Five and ten. Will now wrap and ship fresh cut full-size Christmas trees.
Like real trees?
Real trees.
Oh, Jesus. Sounds Amazon like a very difficult thing to do.
Changing the game. They're legit taking over everything.
See, people... I don't want to go negative on this because Christmas is such a beautiful thing. I don't think that people want a... like tree just delivered to their house, because getting the tree, that's a tradition for some people.
Yeah, for sure.
I think the truly lazy what they want is a tree that comes to your house that's fully decorated,
which you can get too.
You can?
Oh yeah.
From Amazon?
No, not from Amazon. I'm just saying you can't get that. I know people who have done that.
Sounds expensive.
I've done the go get your own tree, and with the amount of stuff that we order from Amazon already,
yeah,
I'm down with this.
You but use a real tree, though,
water,
right?
Though. It doesn't come with water. When I read that, it does not get shipped with any water. So they, Amazon says that it should arrive still alive.
Yeah. I'm sure that they have local whatevers that they source out. And
Those
tree farms give them the best trees because they're Amazon. Otherwise, they don't get the Amazon account, so on and so forth, right?
I expect it to ship within 10 days of harvesting. You can pre-order right now.
You use a real tree.
We used to
had that one terrible Christmas where it dried out and the tree completely fell apart. What happened? I don't remember. You went away or what? I remember it was devastating where you came back and like Christmas, like somebody had stole Christmas from you because you came back and all the needles were on the floor.
No, because the water, the base that we had for it, right? We had filled it, and you're supposed to fill it like every couple days, depending on how big the tree is and how much water it soaks up.
Yeah.
And the base, I guess, had leaked.
Okay.
And the water leaked out onto the hardwood floor and destroyed the floor.
Oh, that's right.
And the tree died.
It ruined Christmas and your floors.
And this was like, I don't know, like 3 days before Christmas.
That's right.
And we couldn't get another tree. We couldn't get a real tree.
Yeah.
And we didn't have, like I don't know what happened to our old fake tree.
Yeah.
And so we got rid of it. And then my wife, Jenna, her mom gave us Jenna's grandma's old tree.
Yeah.
Right? A little fake tree.
So sweet.
And we had all these decorations because it was a big, big real tree. And grandma's tree was like maybe 2 feet high. And we had like all these big, big ass like Christmas ornaments. And like the tree was kind of like drooping over. And all these presents around the tree. It just looked. It was kind of sad.
It was so sad. It was so sad. And it ruined your floors.
And it ruined the floors.
And it ruined the floors. That's the best part.
So now you've gone with the artificially fake one,
but now we've gone with the fake tree. Yeah.
I think that's the ultimate sort of nature's revenge when you cut down a tree and bring that tree in to your house and sit it on top of hardwood floors that used to also be a tree, and that and that tree's dying wish was
if I go down we're all going down.
Here we go,
the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Yo, so while that last song was playing just now on the radio, Maury came over to me and said, I'm gonna ask Roz if he'll pop this pimple on the back of my neck.
Why would
like,
I do that?
I was like, don't even bring that up, bro.
Why would
I do that?
I've never had a pimple this big before in my entire life.
What about that one that's been on your neck for like 6 years?
This is like a goiter.
What's a goiter?
I don't know. I learned that word once.
Don't use words that you don't know how to use. Okay.
I just wanted to know if you could feel it.
Why would I do that?
Because I wanted to know if it feels the same to you as it does for me.
I don't know what it feels like to you.
A lump.
Okay, then go with that.
Do you feel the lump?
No, I'm not touching you more. I'm not touching you. I'll look at it with a flashlight, though.
Okay.
Hold on.
Ew. Oh, this is so gross.
You see it. Will you touch it?
No.
Oh, gross. What does it look like?
So weird. I don't even know. Point to it.
Ew.
Stop. You know what? You need to stop fingering around with that thing, man. It's all red and like...
That's what she said.
Turn your head this way a little. I just touched your hair. Table.
Which way?
No, like tilt your head. Face that wall over there.
Maury's head is now on the desk.
Move your shirt back. I don't want to touch that dirty thing either.
Take my shirt off.
No, I didn't say take your shirt off.
I don't know, man. I swear. You know what? When Maury hears, hears what he wants to hear.
Yeah. Maury's the perv in an 80s sitcom where you're like, hey, you want to go swimming? You're like, get naked? You know what I mean? Like, you could get away with saying that stuff back in the day, but you can't anymore. What's that?
Do you see it?
Yeah, I think I see it. It doesn't actually, more, I'll be honest with you, it doesn't look that bad. It looks like there's probably a hair in there somewhere that might need to come out, because there is
so
there's a tiny little like head on it, but I don't think it's so ready from everything that I know about Dr. Pimple Popper.
Yeah.
It's not ready. It's only going to get more angry.
Well, I keep
pushing it
in to try and distribute the insides.
You know that if you keep pushing something on the back of your neck in, it's eventually just going to come out the front of your neck, right?
Oh, where my Adam's apple is.
That's so gross. Oh my god. Gross,
Mocha, do you want to see?
No.
Mocha,
no,
it doesn't actually look that bad. It's not that. I know. Does it hurt?
No, it just feels like there's a big lump.
All right, come here. Let me see it. Turn around.
Here, do you want the scissors?
Turn around. Okay, I'm gonna touch it.
No, I'm gonna touch it. Oh god, this is so gross.
Okay, are you ready?
Yeah.
Oh, god damn it!
Yeah. Is it fixed?
Oh. You know what?
Slap the hell out of that pimple.
Yeah, the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Michael Moore was in for his movie Fahrenheit 11/9.
Fahrenheit 11/9, yeah.
Okay, what did you just put in?
Him actually explaining about Gwen Stefani.
Okay, cool. So the story yesterday was that in an interview with Variety, I think it was, Michael Moore made the claim that the reason Donald Trump is president of the United States of America is because of Gwen Stefani.
And has Gwen Stefani like said anything about it?
She hasn't yet, as far as I know.
Yeah.
And the way that he explained it was that Donald Trump was still, I guess, employed by NBC because he owned The Apprentice. And he found out, Donald Trump found out, that Gwen Stefani was making more money as a judge on The Voice, which is also owned by NBC, than he was as executive producer and host of The Apprentice. And so when he found that out, he flipped out, and he wanted to prove to NBC how popular he was. So he had this big giant meeting at Trump Tower to announce his presidency, just to prove how popular he was. Yeah. And then everything went off the rails and he wound up winning. So that's what Michael Moore is claiming, that Donald Trump is president because he was jealous that Gwen Stefani was being paid more by NBC than he was. So this clip is what Michael Moore
from the carpet last night turns out.
Okay, so so this is not Maury's clip. So this is Michael Moore explaining the Gwen Stefani theory.
Oh, the one that you just told me to put in? Okay.
If you have one question to ask me, what would it be?
You said we have Gwen Stefani to blame for Donald Trump. How so?
Oh, you haven't seen the movie yet, have you?
No.
It's so funny how news breaks on stuff, right? It's all about clickbait. You'll have to see the movie, basically. But I'll say this. Donald Trump found out that a woman on NBC was being paid more than him. And he lost it and came up with a crazy idea. I'll show them how popular I am. I'm going to announce I'm going to run for president. And the rest is history.
Okay, so somebody on the inside had said that this makes for a great headline heading into the Toronto Film Festival. The insider also said that Michael Moore made the claim to get a laugh, and it was taken out of context. However, that clip that you just heard, did that sound like he was saying that it was taken out of context?
No, because the last part of it, even though he was calling her out for being like, oh, the media.
Yeah.
The last part of it, he says exactly what the story is.
Yes. And also, you can't accuse somebody of falling for clickbait when they're clicking on the thing that you actually said. Right. And then a couple spots down, who was that? Was that ET Canada?
That's right.
Because that was ET Canada. And then Maury was a couple spots down asking Michael Moore about his response to the great reaction. Again, this would have been a perfect opportunity for Michael Moore to say, I was joking. This is just all whatever. But listen to this.
Michael.
He doesn't plan on leaving.
Michael Moore, one quick question here. One of the big revelations from the film was about Gwen Stefani. Were you surprised at the reaction? Have you heard from her at all? All about how, you know, she reacted to you saying that?
I've called her.
Were you surprised by the reaction?
Not really. I think nobody's heard that story before, so I think the reaction was great.
We got to go start.
All right, sorry.
Right?
Oh, come on,
so that would have been the perfect opportunity for him to say,
he's doing this on purpose,
it was
though.
Taken out of context.
He's doing this on purpose because he wants people to see the movie.
I did it to drum up some reaction to the movie. And I did it for a laugh. But in neither of those clips did he say that. He's still sticking by the Donald Trump is president of the United States of America because Gwen Stefani made more money than he did.
So he's just continuing with the clickbait.
I don't, but it might be, no, what I'm saying, he actually, I believe that he believes this now, as opposed to that he said it originally for a joke. He had two opportunities on the carpet last night to be like, guys, I was goofing. But he didn't.
Eh.
It's wild.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
A couple minutes, we're going to hear from Lady Gaga, who was on the red carpet at TIFF yesterday. No, was it yesterday?
Yeah.
It was yesterday for Star is Born.
And then when did you do the actual interview? Because you talked to her twice this weekend, Maury. Come on in here, sweetheart.
My twice?
Life. Yeah.
Yeah, Maury sat down with the Gaga twice yesterday over the weekend.
Yes.
Was it, had you met her before?
I have.
Yeah.
But now she's like an even bigger icon to me that it's as if the previous times don't exist.
Oh, stricken from the record.
Stricken from the record. And can I just say something quickly here?
Yeah.
When we did
Yeah, go.
Okay, so when I did the Saturday one, it was like we were sitting at a table, and the classiest thing I've ever seen, she came down, and she went around and shook everyone's hand and asked them their name. So she's like, and you're, and I'm like, Maury, and shook her hand, and she's like, Maury.
Pause for one second, okay? This is where the world of celebrities starts to really drive me nuts, and I know I'm in deep, right? I'm in deep in that world, but this is where it starts to drive me nuts. And I love Lady Gaga. Do not get me wrong. I think the woman is an icon. I adore her. I think she's one of the most talented artists we've seen in three generations. I think she's everything. I love Lady Gaga.
But
when you put somebody in that world of celebrity, it takes regular sort of things and turns them into something special. The idea that Maury thinks that you need to take time out of your day to let the public know that Lady Gaga shook people's hands.
No, but she could have just sat down at the table.
But you know what I mean?
She could have just sat down at the table.
It's just, no, we should not praise people for just doing regular human things and making
things.
It seem extraordinary. Yeah, that is not an extraordinary thing to do.
It is extraordinary for a celebrity to do, because more often than not, they just sit down and say, do the interview.
You think you're the first person to shake hands with?
No, but, listen,
but it made me feel like I was in the moment.
No, but you don't turn that into a big deal. That's where this whole world gets thrown on its ass.
Either way,
it was very
classy.
Turning things like when somebody walks into a room and they shook hands. Like, we don't make big deals out of things like that.
Too
we
late.
Don't. Not
too
in
late.
This world.
Too late.
Not on this show.
Too late. I already
no,
did it.
We don't make big deals out of things like
she
that.
She shook my hand and said my name.
Yeah. Oh. Hold on.
Wait
now.
A minute. Stop.
Wait.
Stop everything,
wait a
everybody.
Second. Wait a second.
Stop the now presses.
Now we're into a doom world here. Okay. So she said what?
She shook my hand.
And said,
Maury.
Wow, how did she say it?
Maury?
But how did she know it?
Because I said it to her.
Okay.
There you go. All right. We're going to hear from Jim and Maury's super close BFF, Lady Gaga.
Here we go.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
I have not read reactions and had people describe a movie when talking to you like this in forever, in years. In years, people were so affected by this movie that it was like it was an experience as opposed to just watching a movie. Like, things changed in people after they saw this movie. Yeah. Like, sitting in the theater crying afterwards. Okay. Like, for I'm legit. And they finally got it right, because they've tried to do A Star Is Born three times and then nobody got it right. And it took Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga to do it.
What do you think of the movie?
I haven't seen it.
Oh, you haven't?
No, because I didn't do the interviews, right? So I only saw the movies that I was doing the interviews for. But damn it, Maury saw it. And you cried for how long? The whole time.
For the whole movie.
Yeah, so twice you talked to Lady Gaga, once at the press round table, and then the other time on the red carpet.
And at the round table is when damn it, Maury told Lady Gaga how much he cried.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
okay.
In front of everybody.
Okay.
I'll go. Okay. Hi. First off, I have to tell you that I've already tweeted about this movie, and it's one of the best movies I've ever seen.
Ever.
I was in tears, an absolute mess. I'm going to cry now. I knew this would happen.
Thank you so much.
It spoke to me. After the credits rolled, I was sitting there in tears the whole time. Lady Gaga, that's my mic, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Should
I get closer?
Can you? Lady Gaga, I have no idea what you drew from all of the emotions you oozed out during your brilliant performance. But how does it make you feel as an actor to know every time this movie is shown, we're, the theater's crying? You're leaving us in tears.
You know, I'm just extremely humbled and grateful to be here. You know, I was a young girl in New York that had a dream of being an actress one day, and I didn't make it as an actress, so I decided to go for it as a musician. To know that this film moves people, it moves my heart as well. And it makes me even more humbled from the generosity of these incredibly talented people sitting next to me. Bradley is an incredible director. He's a consummate performer and professional at everything he does. And both Anthony and Sam were just incredible to work with. I'm just happy that people are as moved by it as we are.
Wow.
Damn.
Yeah, there you go. I love you crying, asking a question. Gets you better answers, though.
Yeah.
Right? Really
and then,
does.
And then yesterday,
I'm all for it.
Maury saw Lady Gaga again on the red carpet and said, hey, by the way, I'm the guy that told you yesterday
that I cry all the time.
I cried.
Yes, Gaga! Lady Gaga, yes! So, Gaga, oh, there she is. Lady Gaga!
I felt pretty.
Lady Gaga, just one quick character? One question right here. First of all, sorry for crying at the round table.
I cried too, I think.
Talk to me about how Bradley Cooper approached you for this movie. What was that conversation like?
Bradley came to my home and we sang together, and I heard his incredible voice instantly, and I just stopped dead in my tracks. I said, you have a voice that comes from your soul, and you know how to tell a story. And we made a contract that day. It was like, I believe in you, you are an actress. I believe in you, you are a musician. And we shook hands on it.
Who, when you're making a movie as incredible as this, who in your life are you excited for them to see this masterpiece?
You know, I think this film is for everyone. And I want it to be for everyone. Everybody goes through challenges in life. And learning about those challenges is something that brings us closer together as a humanity. And I would say that the whole world, and in particular, I hope that women and men who have either suffered from substance abuse or mental health issues, or have a loved one that has suffered, I hope that this film is healing for them as well, and can bring us closer together.
Yeah, the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Jake Gyllenhaal in town again.
Yeah,
for his new movie, Sisters Brothers.
Right. The Sisters Brothers is a Western with Jake Gyllenhaal, John C. Reilly, Riz Ahmed, and
Joaquin Phoenix.
And it's cool. Sisters Brothers, there's no sisters in the movie. Mm. Sisters is their last name.
Oh.
Right? It would be like the Wilson Brothers.
Spoiler,
right? Yeah, it's they say it in the first 2 seconds. I believe the first line of the movie is "We're the Sisters Brothers."
Oh,
yeah. So it's not a secret. They don't discover each other, you know. But Jake Gyllenhaal, always a huge fan of Dammit Maury. They have this really bizarre relationship where we think that Jake Gyllenhaal is convinced that Maury is touched.
Right.
Yeah. Because Maury has the helmet on. He wears a bicycle helmet. It's all full of cameras and everything else. And Jake Gyllenhaal has always been a big fan of Dammit Maury and his head cam, the helmet cam, all that stuff. And so this is the sort of reunion of Dammit Maury and Jake Gyllenhaal on the carpet.
I think they might actually get married after
all
this.
Oh, they should. Yeah.
Jake Gyllenhaal. Babe, how are you, man?
Yeah, good. The thing about you is, like, you just, from afar, I can't think about anything else besides you whenever I look over.
I wish every man would say that about me.
Yeah, well, there you go. Literally, I can't think about any. When I turn around and I see you, I'm like, oh, wait, and I can't get my eye off of you, so there you go.
Do you wish the bromance that you and, you know, the cast had was as good as our bromance?
No, I don't. I hope nothing is as good as our bromance.
So everyone loves Westerns, yeah. But why do we never see the Easterns or Northerns? We never care what's about, like, we don't care about what's happening in the East or the North, clearly.
Well, it seems like nowadays we don't, no.
Should there not have been an old-timey movie about an Eastern?
Actually, you're getting to the heart of what's the problem in the world right now. Yeah, that's it's a serious issue, and as much as we might joke about it, it's actually kind of true.
Wow, Devin Moore sparking conversation with the great Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh, it's so great. And then what is this? This is after the fact, as you like.
This is as their friendship continues to blossom.
Oh, right.
Devin Moore starts getting into accents. And the movie being a Western, putting on that accent.
Well, because he has an English accent in the movie.
Also, your accent in the movie. Very interesting accent in the movie. And I'm an accentor on our show. Could you teach me a line of that accent? It was brilliant.
I don't remember my lines from the movie. We did this a year and a half ago.
Make something up.
You do it for me.
How much is that peach?
That was horrible. That was absolutely... That's not... What was that?
That's how I thought you sounded in the movie.
Wait, do that again?
How much is that peach?
What? Sounds like Canadian.
What's up with you and peaches,
like,
man?
There's a point where you can tell in Jake Gyllenhaal's voice where he's like, I may regret this whole thing, and I feel like I'm being played, but it's just so worth it to find out where this goes.
And then what happened after the interview?
Right. Yeah, he's commenting on the setup that Maury has on his helmet, where he's got the bicycle helmet and like two cameras, and Maury has like an Inspector Gadget watch on his arm that has a monitor on it so he can look at his wrist and see what's going. It's so wild.
See you, man.
Is this you too? Is it sideways for a reason? Or?
It's weighted wrong, so it tends to like...
Because I was like, it doesn't look normal.
Well, exactly. I fix it in post. Otherwise, it looks like I'm drunk.
But it does look like you're drunk.
Yeah, well.
But I'm trying to remember if that's how it is normally.
Well, I put this one here so it weights it sideways. And.
But that is an affectation.
Yes.
Right? Okay.
What does affectation mean?
Looking at y'all are like best friends for real.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Tiff is in town, and Dan and Maury talked to a bunch of people yesterday. We're going to hear from, in just a few minutes, Kit Harington and Paris Hilton.
Kit Harington, Jon Snow, you know nothing, Jon Snow, from Game of Thrones, greatest television show to
Brace
ever
yourself.
Exist that I don't understand.
Brace yourself, winter's coming?
Yes.
So we're going to hear from them.
So long.
Also, Jamie Lee Curtis, who's in the new Halloween movie.
Yeah, and the deal with the new Halloween movie is, how many Halloweens in total have there been?
Oh, God. Let me look this up real quick right now.
Because the deal with the new Halloween movie was the first one came out in the 70s, and now they're back with another Halloween, but this is a sequel just to the very first one that came out in the 70s, not the other 9 or 8 that have come out after it.
So
you forget about all those other ones. And then this is a sequel just to that first one that came out in the 70s. So we'll hear from Jamie Lee Curtis about the new Halloween movie. And people, I'll tell you, are raving about it.
Yeah.
The reviews for the new Halloween are incredible.
I know, like, people incredible. That were at the premiere in Toronto for TIFF and said it was unbelievable.
And you know that
all the reviews that are coming out right now.
Yeah.
That are giving it all these like 5 stars, 5 stars, 10 stars, 10 stars.
Yeah.
They're all based on the premiere in Toronto Thursday night or whatever.
And I've never seen a TIFF movie where people actually got all dressed up for it.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, and they had a guy dressed up as The Shape or Michael Myers in the theater, like standing out to the
and
side.
And the interesting
right?
thing was is that TIFF hired somebody to walk around the streets dressed as the Michael Myers.
Yeah.
But then there were other people that dressed up as Michael Myers dressed up as well. And I said, well, can we have your actor walk the carpet so we can get video? And they're like, we're not sure which one he is, so we don't want to ask the wrong one.
Did you guys ever watch Rob Zombie Halloween?
I did.
Two of them.
Yeah,
were they good?
No, I like Rob Zombie as a director. I think that he does gore really, really well, and I think he's a very smart guy. But Rob Zombie, to me, took the worst direction that you could possibly take with a Halloween movie and ruined it. He really did. And what made Michael Myers the Shape so terrifying was he was just a killing machine. You saw Michael Myers in the first Halloween as a little boy, and he, I believe, kills his
spoiler
sister
alert.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first Halloween. It came out in the 70s, bro. And I believe kills his sister and then goes away. They put him in an institution, whatever. Yeah. And then he comes back all those years later to wreak havoc on this town, Jamie Lee Curtis. The great thing about Michael Myers was he was just a killing machine and you didn't know why. That's what makes somebody terrifying. When you don't know the motive for why somebody is doing something, it's terrifying. Mm-hmm. That's why Michael Myers will always be more terrifying than Freddy Krueger. Freddy Krueger, you knew the motive. Michael Myers, you never knew the motive. And although Rob Zombie directed a great movie, what he did was he gave Michael Myers a backstory and motive.
It's like what they did with Star Wars and Darth Vader.
Right. They gave him motive on why he was doing it.
Figure out your own answers.
No, but then you sympathize with him. Mm-hmm. Right, you have empathy towards somebody as soon as you figure out whether it's abuse or incarceration or whatever it is that leads them to then do the thing that they do.
Yeah,
he's not as terrifying at that point.
No.
Once you realize why he's
like,
doing
oh,
it.
I get it. Oh, I feel bad. You go
right.
and kill people.
Yes,
you go ahead.
True. Yes,
it was all based like the mask is a William Shatner mask.
It's a William Shatner Halloween mask, the original one. The new one's not.
Yeah,
but the original movies when they were looking for a mask, they grabbed the Captain Kirk mask.
That's so
the old
awesome.
Halloween mask from the 70s and just painted it white.
So good.
And so in the first Halloween, and I believe the second and third as well, the mask that that Michael Myers is wearing is actually a William Shatner, a Captain Kirk mask.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Oh. People are loving this Halloween movie, man.
The reviews are out because it debuted the other night in Toronto at TIFF, and all the major publications are giving this movie such great ratings.
And let's not forget about the, let's put the publications aside, because those same publications said that The Last Jedi was a masterpiece. Let's talk about fan reaction, because fan reaction to this movie was incredible. And Jamie Lee Curtis is back in Halloween, and this is a continuation of the very first Halloween.
So forget the
from
other
the 70s.
So forget the seven. I'm not including yeah. The Rob Zombie ones.
Why not?
Do we have to include those?
Sure.
Okay, so then there are 10.
Yeah.
This would be the 11th in the Halloween franchise. So forget about the other 9.
Yeah.
And go part 1.
Yeah.
And then this.
Yes. This one opens October 19th, so right in time for Halloween.
Who's that, Michael Myers?
No.
Oh.
It's a Dracula. I know. You know me in Halloween. Come on, man. Make me look like a punk like that on so early in the morning. So, damn it, Maury, on the carpet with the great Jamie Lee Curtis.
Jamie Lee Curtis! This is a moment. I'm so happy to see you.
Is this like an all-in-one band? Like,
really?
Oh, the helmet.
The helmet with all the cameras on it.
How are we supposed to forget? Like, because it goes back to the first one. So you want us to forget everything we've seen?
No, I just want you to remember the first movie and then watch this movie. All the rest of the movies, if you have a favorite one, you can still have it. They are not gone. They are available on streaming. But it has no relevance to the movie we made, which is why the movie is called Halloween.
Oh, zing. Jamie Lee Curtis.
Wow. Wow. But they already brought... I could understand if Jamie Lee Curtis had not already appeared in another Halloween movie, but they brought her back again already and killed her, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So we're supposed to forget that one, too?
Which I'm fine with, because apparently this movie is so fantastic that I will suspend all disbelief and I will buy right into... I will watch the one that came out in the 70s and I'll go and watch this one like nothing happened in the middle and enjoy it for what it is.
You wish that horror movies had more recognition come awards time?
I don't give a shit. That isn't why people do this. None of us, nobody ever goes into it for an award.
Mm-hmm.
You may think they do, they don't.
Mm-hmm.
Artists make movies, whatever type of movies there are, artists make them. Crews of filmmakers, young, old, people who've been in the movie business a long time, gather together, create something, and then they put it out. And then after that, you guys do your whole thing, and then you deem some of them worthy and some of them are not, and all the rest of it, I could care less.
Hold on a second.
No.
Hold on a second. I love Jamie Lee Curtis with all of my heart.
No,
she
really won a bunch of awards already, though, right?
I love her with all of my heart. Can you play that last little bit again? Because I just have to... I have to... Just play that last little part where she talks about us guys.
Gather together, create something, and then they put it out. And then after that, you guys do your whole thing. And then you deem some of them worthy and some of them are not. And all the rest of it, I could care less.
Let me just jump in here for a second. Okay. You guys make your movies. I understand that. Then those movie companies launch massive campaigns to get you and your people nominated for awards, which you vote on. I am not a member of the Academy. When she's like, you guys decide who is worthy and who is not.
That's your people that does
that's
that.
That's your people. You guys decide who's worthy and who's not.
You guys as in the media.
We and, don't.
Or the general public that then deem outside of awards whether a movie is amazing or not.
No, this was a conversation about awards.
Mm.
We don't decide who wins awards. I'd like to be a member of the Academy. That'd be dope.
Oh my God. Are you kidding? You know how many movies you gotta watch? Even the bad ones?
True, now you're right.
Oh, anyway, new Halloween, October 19th. Here we go. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast. Oh.
Let's
do this classic.
Hmm. Yeah.
Believe it or not, this is Paris Hilton.
I will say, I know I've said this before, and I have to say it again. What is this called? Stars Eyes or something like that?
Stars Are Blind. Don't
Stars Are Blind. I will say this. This is the Paris Hilton jam, Stars Are Blind. It has aged much better than what I thought it would. When this song first came out, it got destroyed, and she got destroyed. And I believe song was unfairly judged because people hated Paris Hilton.
It got destroyed because it's Paris Hilton.
Yep.
If it was said, hey, everyone, guess what? This is a new Gwen Stefani song.
Yeah.
Or this is a No Doubt song. Because this basically sounds like them, right?
Yeah. And it wouldn't have done crazy, but you wouldn't have
judged it?
You wouldn't have judged it. You would have said that this is embarrassing. Like, people were so harsh on Paris Hilton. Rightfully so. She was annoying and everything else. The whole show and everything, her lifestyle.
I don't know, man. I like that Simple Life show.
But I will say this, that this song has aged much better than what I thought it would. I feel that the same way with this song as I do about Gigli. You know, Gigli is a much better movie. It's not a good movie, but it's a much better movie than people thought it was.
J-Lo and Ben Affleck, right?
And because people were hard on them, because they were this like couple and everything else, and they judged the movie harshly based on them, not on the movie. And same thing with this song. They based this song on their hatred for Paris Hilton, which I don't think this is a bad pop song.
You think Paris Hilton never listens to that song at home? Just like blasting the mansion?
I would. Yeah, I'd sing it around the house, man. It's a decent little pop song.
It's an all right, like, kind of summertime vibe, right?
I got no problem with that jam. I really do. And if she's still in town right now, Paris, Stars Are, what's it called?
Stars Are Blind.
Stars Are Blind.
Your number one fan, Roz, has a message for you.
I think it's a good pop song. I have no problem with Stars Are Blind.
I don't hate that track. So what was she doing in town?
She is
performing that song?
She's engaged to Chris Zilka, who was in a movie called The Life and Death of John F. Donovan. This is Xavier Dolan's new movie. And she walked the red carpet because her fiance is there and she wanted to support, of course. And damn it, Maury, with Paris Hilton.
Paris Hilton, how proud are you of your man?
I'm so proud of him. I love him so much. And I'm so excited to see this film.
When you started out, social media was all new. Do you like how social media is going, or would you change anything about social media today?
I think it's completely changed the entire world and just how everything is happening. But I'm happy that I grew up in a time when there was no social media, really, because you got to really enjoy life without like a camera phone in your face all the time. But I also think it's really changed life in a good way, because a lot of people can make businesses and build brands, and it's just really changed the whole landscape.
I'm very jealous of you. He's a very hot man.
Thank you.
Oh, by the way, you guys kissed over there and he wiped the kiss off.
No, I told him because I have really pink glittery lip gloss. And I was like, honey, I don't want you like walking around with the pink lip gloss on.
Girl.
Yeah, Paris Hilton did it right, because back in the day when she first started, if you wanted to be obnoxious and famous, you had to do it on television.
Yeah.
You couldn't just do it on Instagram.
The show with Nicole Richie.
Yeah, and if you're going to do it on television, that means somebody's going to pay you to do it on television.
For sure.
You know, everybody else now is
and
giving
pay
it away.
A lot of money.
Giving it away for free on Instagram. Do we have time for Kit Harington?
Yeah.
Okay, so Kit Harington, Jon Snow, from Game of Thrones, and the delays on Game of Thrones have Game of Thrones fans just going crazy because we cannot wait for this new season. And when Maury told me that he was going to get a chance to talk to Kit, I was like, oh my God, you have to get something out of him about Game of Thrones. So this is the beginning of Damn It Maury with Kit Harington. Everything's going great.
Kit Harington, dude, how are you?
Very well.
I thought you'd be taller.
Really? Yeah. Okay. Well, you're making me feel not bad.
Okay. Oh, okay. All right. Everything's going okay. I shouldn't say great.
Yeah.
So Game of Thrones, of course, based on very famous books that they turned into a TV show. And I'm talking to Maury and I'm like, Kit Harington, Game of Thrones, 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 Game of Thrones. Say it with me, Maury. Game of Thrones, Game of Thrones, Game of Thrones, Game of Thrones.
That's all that's in his mind.
This is just, you need to repeat this back to me over and over and over again. Game of Thrones, 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 Game of Thrones. Okay, there's Kit Harington. Go.
I heard that you wanted to be in a Harry Potter movie.
No! Is that true? I'm a huge Harry Potter fan. I always have been. I've read those books maybe 18 times. You know, I'm rereading them right now as we speak.
You think you could play him?
Play Harry Potter?
Yeah.
I think that's been done.
Amazing. Such an honor to meet you. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Wow, all that Game of Thrones info you got. So,
Kit Harington. Game of Thrones, 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 Game of Thrones. Do you want to play Harry Potter?
The Roz and Mocha Show Podcast.
Ah, yes. Mm-hmm. TIFF continues to take over the city of Toronto.
Yeah.
I know Ryan Gosling visited a coffee shop yesterday.
That's right. The hashtag was so funny that they were using, though.
Hashtag Ryan needs grinder.
Right.
What if they knew?
Of course they did.
Before they started that.
You can't not know that.
Grinder Coffee House on Girard launched a campaign to get Ryan Gosling to visit. Massive campaign for like 5 days.
Yeah.
And then he ended up showing up. That was real nice.
It's not bad.
Damon Moore sat down and talked to Keira Knightley yesterday.
Oh, about the movie. So the movie's Colette, and it's...
Yeah, what's the big deal about this movie?
Okay,
first of all,
yeah, it's amazing. It's one of my favorite movies that I saw during the film festival. It's based on a old French novelist by the name of... who went by Colette. And she was a ghostwriter for her husband. And
I was going to say, don't say Drake.
No. She was a ghostwriter and then sort of came out on her own. And it deals with gender, this movie. It deals with like women's roles. It's set like super long ago. But when you listen to the dialogue and the sort of interaction between everybody in the movie, it feels extremely contemporary. And only Keira Knightley can play these roles.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know the last time, like every film festival you sit down and talk to Keira Knightley about a Keira Knightley period piece that she's done.
Yeah.
Because she's the best at it. Like, there's nobody better.
Nice? Is she nice, Maury?
Oh, she's lovely.
Yeah, she seems like she's being real nice in person.
Yeah.
Guys, congratulations. One of the best films I've ever seen. So congratulations.
Yes. Right. Oh, that's amazing. Thank you.
Hold on.
Keira Knightley?
Hold on. One of the best films at the film festival.
Not that you've ever seen.
That you've ever seen, Maury.
Bro, you said that already, like earlier, like 2 days ago, you said that to someone.
I have a question, though. Come in here for 1 second, because I need to know what the parameters are on this before we continue with Keira Knightley. Now, when you say one of the best films you've ever seen, how many films are on that list of the best films you've ever seen?
Oh, there's plenty. There's hundreds.
Okay, there we go.
Wow,
okay.
Hundreds.
Okay,
guys, congratulations. One of the best films I've ever seen. So congratulations.
Yes.
So
cool. That's amazing. Thank you.
Keira Knightley, I wish I could see you daily. Do you get it?
I did.
Do
you get it? Thank you so much. Yes, that's great. Loved it.
And Keira Knightley, you make being...
Did you not hear that part?
No, I missed it. I don't get what's so funny about it.
He said, Keira Knightley, I wish I could see you daily.
Amazing, thank you.
Keira Knightley, I wish I could see you daily. Do you get it?
I did.
Do you get
Thank
it?
You so much. Yes, that's great. Loved Amazing. It.
Wow. And Keira Knightley, you make being a celebrity look so much fun. Is being a celebrity everything it's cracked up to be?
Do I make
make it look so much fun.
You really do.
Do I?
Yes.
Gosh.
Flirting.
I don't know. You know, I feel really lucky. I'm in a place in my career where I'm offered amazing characters. And, you know, this one being sort of such a privilege to play. And the people that I'm getting to work with, like Dominic and the directors who are coming my way, I just feel unbelievably fortunate.
Since your name is Keira Knightley, yeah. I've always wanted to ask this to you.
Yeah.
Since your name is Keira Knightley, I'd be remorse if I didn't ask, what do you do nightly?
Brush my teeth.
That's it?
I mean, I could say so many other things, but I'm not going to.
Listen to you two. Get married already.
Okay, hold on here. You have to rewind it back to where Maury
the flirting
says,
started?
No. To where he says, I would be remorse if I didn't ask.
Hold on.
Nightly. Yeah. I always wanted to ask this to you.
Yeah. Who are coming my way, I just feel unbelievably fortunate.
Since your name is Keira Knightley, yeah. I've always wanted to ask this to you.
Yeah.
Since your name is Keira Knightley, I'd be remorse if I didn't ask, what do you do nightly?
Do you mean remiss? You mean remorse? I would be remorse.
Remorse, like, you know, if I were to use it in a sentence.
No, you already use it in a sentence. What does the word mean? You don't know what the word means. You use it in a sentence
remorse,
already.
To remorse, like, if I don't ask this, I'm going to regret it later. I'm going to remorse myself.
I've never seen somebody in my life be sort of right, but also very wrong.
Completely wrong.
Like, you're driving home and you're like, oh my God, I'm so remorse. I didn't ask that.
I'm so remorse.
Yeah.
You think that way, like, of that word.
Right?
Oh my God, I'm so remorse right now.
Like, or if you were didn't ask it, I'd be like, what were you thinking? Remorse of you.
No.
The Roz and Mocha Show Podcast.
The movie is Boy Erased, starring Nicole Kidman. About a teenage son of a Baptist pastor who is forced into gay conversion. Maury, come on in here for a sec. So this movie's right up Maury's alley, right up a film festival's alley. This is like has award show sort of themes written all over it.
So
right?
Emotional. Nicole Kidman plays the mom and they're pastors. They work at the church.
Yeah.
And their kid, played by Lucas Hedges,
yeah.
comes out. I think about guys is what he says.
Sure.
And they send him to a gay conversion camp.
Right. So a red carpet is a red carpet. Regardless of the sort of theme of a movie, red carpets are brutal and you got to fight mm-hmm. and you get shut down by publicists and stars will do the first couple of interviews on the front of the red carpet and then they'll just try and blow by everybody. So Maury this whole time on the red carpet, and you didn't have a great position on this carpet.
I did not.
And Maury felt slighted because Maury's gay and thinks that this movie is perfect for the audience and everything else. So he was fighting for time with Nicole Kidman.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of was getting a little shut down by the people who were handling Nicole Kidman and then the movie and everything else. Maybe we won't have time. We're going to have to be with other people. And I don't yeah. know if it's going to happen. I don't know if it's going to happen. I don't know if it's going to happen. And then at that point is when you, as a reporter, you have to sort of start yelling their name and trying to get their attention. And there was a moment where it was looking like they were going to walk Nicole Kidman right past Maury.
Yeah.
And at that point, Maury had one play, and I'm so proud of him that he played it. So this is how Maury got Nicole Kidman to stop. Listen.
Nicole Kidman, one question.
To start the film, Nicole, we're going to be late.
What is the theme of
Nicole? Nicole Kidman. Nicole Kidman, I am gay.
Oh! Oh! And did they bring her to you?
Immediately.
Immediately.
Sorry, this movie is so
92.5.
So important movie, and for people who did come out, and it wasn't easy, like myself and my husband.
Yes.
Don't make me cry.
I'll make you cry. This movie's meant to.
But my question to you is, you want this movie to spark so much conversation, and we hope it does.
Yeah.
But are you worried that the people who should see it maybe won't see it?
I don't think when you make something artistic, you just put it out in the world; it'll find its place. People will respond to it, or they won't. I've made so many different movies in my career. So, and with this, it was put out, as I say, with all of the right right intentions, and hopefully whatever happens with it will happen, but it's there to hopefully create conversation and bring families together.
Thank you so much for doing this.
So, thank you.
Wow. Did you cry?
I did a bit, because yeah, it's one of those movies where it's has good intentions, but sure. The people who should see it may not.
Right, right, right. Yeah, well, there you go. Thank you very much, Maury. That was what
I am gay.
I am gay.
This is the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
White Boy Rick is in theaters tomorrow, and I'm excited to see this movie.
Yeah, it's a true story, based on a true story that took place in the 80s, where this young kid who was known as White Boy Rick became the youngest ever FBI informant drug kingpin at like 15, 16 years old. And then he was tried as an adult when it all went to hell. And he's still doing time.
Damn.
Yeah, it's crazy. And the name White Boy Rick is what he just got on the streets. But his story became so famous that, like, when you watch news reports, like anchors are like, notorious felon White Boy Rick is still behind bars. Like, they like,
that's what he's known as. You can't say his first and last name, because people are like, who the hell's that?
Yeah, they call him. They call him White Boy Rick.
Yeah.
And McConaughey is so good. And there's a kid in the movie named Richie, who it's his first movie ever. And he's so good. And what is this, the red carpet with you and McConaughey? Maury?
Matthew McConaughey. Yes, good to see you again. Dude, in recent interview you said that you feel that you haven't made it as an actor. Wonder if you can explain that a little bit. Wonder if you can explain what you meant.
No, what I said was, I don't feel like, someone said, so do you think you've made it? Wouldn't the Oscar mean you made it? And I was like, no, I shouldn't feel that way, and I don't feel that way. I'm in the, you know, I've been, what have I been doing this for since 1992, 26 years? I'm still learning more and more about my craft every job I take. And so it's getting more exciting, not more complacent, not more boring. It's getting more exciting for me.
On our show, I'm known as like an impressionist, but I want to work on my McConaughey. What would be my homework to hone the impression of a McConaughey?
It's musical probably, right?
If I wanted to work on the voice.
Just take your time. You'll enjoy it.
I don't think he had any idea what you were talking about. Can you play
none whatsoever.
Can you play that part back? Because I don't.
On our show, I'm known as like an impressionist, but I want to work on my McConaughey. What would be my homework to hone the impression of a McConaughey?
It's musical, probably, right?
If I wanted to work on the voice.
Just take your time. You'll enjoy it.
No, he wasn't listening to you at all.
Here we go. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Michael Shannon in Toronto for TIFF. His new movie is What They Had. Michael Shannon, you know him as Zod, General Zod in Man of Steel. He was in The Shape of Water, of course, Boardwalk Empire.
Mm-hmm. What else was he in? He was in some else I saw recently, too. But he's a very intense guy. I like him. He's a great actor, too.
Nocturnal Animals. Is that what you're thinking of?
Yeah, I saw him in that. Yeah, like, oh, Shape of Water.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, he was a real, like, he was the devil in that movie. What a horrible guy in that movie. He always plays that guy, though.
Totally.
Right? If you see a movie and somebody does something that, you know, you think they're going to get beat up for, and then that guy walks into a room, and in that room is Michael Shannon, you know Michael Shannon's going to be the one who beats him up for doing that thing. Right? That's just the way it goes.
That's true. Very intimidating. I have a feeling Dammit Maury was super scared of him on that red carpet.
Michael Shannon, it's an absolute honor to meet you. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. So to do a film like this, is it important for you to do films that affect everybody, that really does touch everybody?
I can't really say. I have my own sensitivities. I have things that I am thinking about, preoccupied with, and I feel like if I address those, then maybe I'll be addressing some other people's concerns as well.
So I got to tell you, I've always been so afraid to talk to you. I don't know what it is about you, but you scare me. Do you know why?
No, I don't know why I scare you.
Because you give away out this allure of, I guess, some sort of like gangster feel?
Or maybe it's my faint aroma of supreme disillusionment.
That's what it is.
Yes.
Do you know what he means, Maury, at all?
Not at all. Maury could not get out of that conversation any quicker.
The movie, by the way, is What They Had. He's in it with Blythe Danner, Robert Foster, and Hilary Swank.
Nice.
Here we go.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
I love it.
Oh, no. I have such a hard time with this song. That's the Kanye. And what's the other guy's name? Lil Pump?
Lil Pump.
All right. I don't know a lot about Lil Pump, but they wrote a good song. And that song, when you first listen to it, the I Love It song, is wildly, like, you feel like you should be outraged and offended and worried about the world.
It's shocking.
But then you see the video and you sort of find it endearing, which is so difficult to do, where you can write something where just the base point of a song and what they're saying is you should be outraged by it. Maybe not outraged, but you should be like, we're better than this as people, that we're all going to sit around and make this video trend the number one video on YouTube for 5 days.
It's filthy.
It's so filthy.
And you know what the funny thing
is? It's so filthy.
Yeah, it's so filthy. But the song is 2 minutes and 11 seconds.
Yeah.
Right?
And then you watch the video and it's really endearing. Like, the song is so offensive that, like, if that song came out in 1989, 60 Minutes would do a story on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they would.
Yeah.
Like, this would be such a shock to our culture if somebody released years ago a song like I Love It by Kanye and Lil Pump, that really it would be the front page of newspapers, and that there would be congressional hearings about it, like there were with metal bands.
67 million views.
Yeah, but we just sort of groove to it, and people can be easily swayed about with this song. That's the one thing that I do know, is that if...
Oh God, it's so dirty.
If you have somebody listen to this song who would inherently be offended by it, but they listen to it with people who find it hysterical and entertaining, that other person who should be offended by it will also find it hysterical and entertaining.
I started singing it last night in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And my wife was like, why would you sing that at home?
Oh no. Oh no.
I was like, babe, it's just a song. It's not like, I'm not singing it to you.
No.
I'm just singing it in the house.
Yes.
It's Kanye and Lil Pump.
Yeah.
She's like, I don't care.
Did,
like,
she know the song, or did she just hear you singing that?
She just heard me.
I
started singing it. And she's like, why would you say that? I was like, no, it's a song. It's a very funny song. And then after she was
real funny.
I don't find it funny.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, by the way, I sent it to Roz's girlfriend, Catherine, the day that it came out last Friday, because I know the shock value.
Yeah.
And she's like, okay, well, you don't have to sing in the house.
Yeah, and she played it in the car with Roxy, by the way.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Sorry about that.
Because you said you'll love this. You won't be able to get it out of your head. Make sure you play it in the car on the way to school with Roxy.
All right, so what do you want?
Okay, so it's very difficult to play this song because it is so filthy. What are the edited versions like? Like, are they even worth playing?
So,
because
the one with the beeps?
Yeah.
I mean, even the edited version, I had to beep.
Yeah.
Because the edited version just took the bad parts and reversed the words, and you could still hear, like, you could still make it out.
Yeah.
So even the quote unquote radio edit sounds filthy.
Okay.
So what
you just beeped
it. I just beeped all the parts.
Okay.
You're such a I love it. You're such a I love it.
So dirty.
You're such a When the first time they asked you want sparkling or still? Are you trying to act like you was drinking sparkling water before you came out here? You're such a f***ing, I'm a sick f***ing, I like a quick f***ing. I'm a sick f***ing, I like a quick f***ing. I'm a sick f***ing, I like a
f***ing. Yeah. Even that's too dirty.
Right?
Is there one where they just cut it out completely?
I like my
Even the, like, in my head, even the beeps rhyme, so I know what they're saying. You know what I mean?
I mean, there's one, like, so they released one. It's called, like, the Super Clean Edit.
Yeah, let's hear that one. Okay, let me hear this one.
You're such a, I love it.
There we go. Okay.
That sound better?
My heart was like,
I love it. You're such a, such a, such a, such a. When the first time they ask you, you want
sparkling. Well, like, again, this song, this is like number one trending on YouTube for 5.5 days.
It's crazy. How many views does it have?
67 million.
Since Friday, less than a week.
I'm a sick, sick. I like a quick. I'm a sick, sick. I'm
a sick, sick. I like a quick. But it's a very difficult song to talk about. Like, I want to talk about it because it is worth a discussion as to whether, you know, you feel like you should hate this song and everybody involved with it, but what is it about it that, you know, it gets stuck in your head? And I actually don't feel bad singing it. I should feel terrible singing it, but for some reason I don't. I don't know why.
You're such a, such a, such a, I love you.
Yeah, the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Hey, it's Roz and Mocha. Who's this?
Hey, Roz and Mocha. This is Sampi. How are you guys?
Good, man. What's going on?
I just want to give you thanks. And I was listening to your shows like since I think like almost like right now 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Nice.
It's a great show and a really phenomenal show, guys. Really appreciate it. And, you know, enjoyable.
Oh, thank you. How did you discover the Roz and Mocha show?
I was showing you, what is it called? A billboard on the bus.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And,
good to know.
And also like, I'm a radio host too, like in my language. I've been doing for almost like 12 years.
Oh, wow.
So I know like how it's like, you know, when you have like a good co-host and then like the show will be going up and down like in a very phenomenal way, right? So like, that's why I just want to give you a heads up and like, you know, thank you so much to make the morning.
What's your native language?
It's Tamil.
I should have said Tamil. I knew it. I was going to say Tamil. Dang it.
And you do actually, a radio show where?
It's in Scarborough. It's 102.7.
Oh, okay, yeah. Cool. Nice.
Maury, no need to come in here, Maury. I know exactly what you're going to say. Where's Tamil, right?
Yeah,
yes, thank you. Yeah. Anyway, out you go, Maury. Don't worry about him.
Well, listen, thank you very much for listening to the Roz and Mocha Show. We appreciate that, brother.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. And enjoy the rest of your day.
Here we go.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
How to Murder Your Husband. That is the name of a book written by Nancy Crampton Brophy. Why I bring this up is because Nancy Crampton Brophy, the writer, was just arrested for murdering her husband.
Okay, so she wrote a book called How to Murder Your Husband. Was it just like some chilling, like crime novel?
Yeah, one of these like romance/crime novels.
Okay.
This is what she's known for.
When did she write this book?
Like forever ago. She's 68 years old now. Last week, she was arrested for fatally shooting her husband of 27 years.
It's so fascinating that if I even start to read about this story, I know I'm going to become obsessed with this story.
Well, it was 3 months ago that she posted on Facebook about her husband dying. So that happened 3 months ago, but this book was written years ago.
So in her 2011 essay, Nancy discussed several potential motivations for wanting to kill a spouse, including infidelity, abuse, or greed.
Mm-hmm.
She says, quote, "Divorce is expensive, and do you really want to split your possessions?" Then she goes on to say, "I find it easier to wish people dead than to actually kill them. I don't want to worry about blood and brain splattered all over my walls, and really, I'm not good at remembering lies. But the thing I know about murder is that every one of us have it in him or her when pushed far enough."
Oh my God!
That's what
she wrote in 2011!
That's what she wrote in 2011, yeah.
So the writer of a book, How to Murder Your Husband, was arrested because she murdered her husband.
Yeah. The Roz and Mocha Show
podcast.
So if you're on social right now, you'll probably see GTFO trending.
GTFO.
GTFO.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Get the out of here.
GTFO is the brand new single that just dropped this morning by Mariah Carey.
GTFO.
Yeah, exactly.
Mariah Carey's still trying to make music.
Every single
she tries to release is trash.
Her album, With You, will be out October 5th.
Oh, great. I can't wait.
The first single off her upcoming album. Oh, sorry. With You is going to be the single that's going to drop on October 5th.
Uh-huh.
And she's released today the song for GTFO, and the video will follow tomorrow. There's a clip in there for you to play. You have not heard this yet, right?
No.
Yeah, no, neither have I. So let's give brand new Mariah Carey a listen.
Oh, okay. Prepare to be underwhelmed. Yeah, that's really bad.
Oh, come on now. Look at Maury's face. So upset.
It's like the biggest Maya fan.
Okay, go.
Yeah. Okay, can I just say, they do so much overproducing of her voice.
Yeah.
I can't understand a single word she's saying.
Nothing. Nothing.
I have no idea what she's singing. So
she whispers, and then they make it sound like singing, right? Like,
that is the worst piece of crap I've ever heard in my life.
And this is from coming from this is a lamb.
You know what I'm now entering into? A week of absolute hell where I have to hear this now in its entirety every single day
because
of
Matthew, your husband.
Yeah, and he'll defend it to no end.
Sure,
how
yeah,
great
I
it
get
is.
That. I get that.
But like, I love her older stuff, but everything she releases now sounds like this.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
We want to hear you sing.
We didn't even get to the chorus on that song. Did you put the chorus in or no?
The chorus is not available.
Oh.
Unless I pay for it, and I'm not paying for that.
Oh. And this is a guy who got engaged to his husband on stage at a Mariah Carey concert.
Yeah.
Engaged on stage with Mariah, and also, you say that you're not willing to pay
hold on,
for this?
Like, you can't love everything that somebody, like, if you love somebody, you can't like everything they put out.
I agree.
Just like if you love Picasso, you won't love all of his paintings.
No, I agree. And no, I know. But something has happened to Mariah where she doesn't have what she used to have. And I'll agree with you. I'll agree with both of you on that. And they overproduce her. It still sort of sounds like Mariah. Like there's a little bit of Mariah tone in there. But it's not.
No, but
she's
not hitting the high notes.
No, but it doesn't sound like a person.
No, listen here.
It doesn't sound like a person.
Listen again. Not a good song. Anyway, that's new Mariah. Nobody cares.
Wow.
Here we go.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
So Alex Trebek has taken a page out of my playbook.
What do you mean? He's starting to wear tight black pants?
Yeah. Could you imagine?
Scarves?
That'd be so great. No, I love Alex Trebek. And he went on summer vacation and came back with a beard.
Oh.
And because remember when he shaved his mustache, everybody freaked out.
Yeah.
Was like, why did you shave the mustache?
That's not the Alex we know.
Then he grew the mustache back and everybody's like, yeah.
Life's back to normal.
Then he went on vacation this time and came back with a beard. So listen to what Alex Trebek said last night when he came back on Jeopardy.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Jeopardy as we begin our 30-trip season. No need to inquire how I spent my summer vacation. Because so many of you people asked about it, I decided to regrow my mustache. But as you can see, things got a little out of hand. These hairs kept attracting friends. Whether I keep it or not depends on you. So go to our Jeopardy Facebook or Instagram pages and let us know how you feel. Hopefully it won't be a distraction for our players.
Right, so letting the audience vote on whether you should keep your beard.
Yeah.
And do you remember like 3 years ago when I went on summer vacation, I went back to ET Canada with a beard and it became a huge fight because
they wanted you to shave it, right?
There was a no beard policy. There was no facial hair policy. And then I launched a social media campaign. And well, here's the clip. For 10 years or as long as I can remember on this show, there's a mandate that nobody is allowed to have a beard, which is one unfair. I'm not going to say it's sexist, but I'm not saying it's sexist. And here I am to challenge this because this is me. I like this. Is it hashtag beard yes or hashtag beard no? And people were so strong about it. Like beard yes started trending within like, I would say like 20 minutes.
I voted beard yes.
And you totally voted beard yes for me.
I think you look way better with a beard.
Thank you. And now the world has sort of changed and it's not an issue anymore. But I find it funny that Alex Trebek is doing the same thing because I guess even in his world, it is up for discussion. It's a simple thing.
I'm sure the people at Jeopardy were like, listen, Alex, mustache, that's trademark. You can keep the mustache, but you cannot keep the beard.
Yeah.
And Alex was like, screw you guys for $500. I want to keep the beard. Let's put it out to the people.
What is no?
The Roz and Mocha Show
podcast.
Roz, I got to tell you, man, a lot of people love the fact that we now have the news on the podcast.
Yeah, I love doing the news on the podcast. So
good.
Without further ado, hey, Mocha, you ready?
Yeah!
Let's do the news!
The Roz and Mocha Show and KISS 92.5 News Break.
An Airbnb at King and Bathurst is apparently a horror show. So a guy named Doug Hamilton, his girlfriend, recently came to Toronto and rented an Airbnb. This is last Thursday.
Okay.
And he had recently read an article talking about hidden cameras in some Airbnbs.
Yeah.
So when they checked in, they go into the room and he saw a digital clock placed in a really prominent spot in the room. And then he checked out the digital clock and soon discovered that the digital clock had a false front that he removed. And inside that digital clock was, in fact, a camera.
Oh, damn.
We're kind of, I think, more lighthearted about it just because of the fact that, you know, we literally just got into the place. I think it would be a very different situation if we discovered it, say, the next day.
Yeah. So they found it as soon as they checked in.
It's worth noting that this guy that owned that Airbnb had several other locations as well.
Yeah. Yush, yush, yush. John Legend won an EGOT.
John Legend won an EGOT. So hold on, don't tell me that that is. All I know what that is. Okay. EGOT, EGOT.
Yes, sir.
That is when you win an Emmy.
Yep.
A Grammy.
Yep.
An Oscar.
Yep.
And oh God, what's it?
Think. Give him a clue.
Nah, don't worry, Bish.
An Emmy, a Grammy,
yeah,
an Oscar,
yeah, and a other people who have won EGOTs. While you mull that over, maybe this will help you. Audrey Hepburn is an EGOT winner. Andrew Lloyd Webber is an EGOT winner.
The Phantom.
Whoopi Goldberg is an EGOT winner.
Tony Award.
Yes.
Tony?
Yes. I was going to say, think of the tiger.
Yeah. So it is, it's an EGOT. It's the Emmy, the Grammy, the Oscar, and the Tony.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is kind of great, right?
Very tough.
It's a very difficult achievement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, John Legend.
If Lady Gaga wins an Oscar for her new movie, she'll be one Tony away from an EGOT.
Well, so she's 50% right now.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah. A lot of people are 50%. The difficult part is getting all four.
Somebody doesn't have any of them, you could say, they're four away from getting all.
They're only four away from an EGOT. Mark, I'm only four away from an EGOT. Also, Maury was looking at the glass half full. Yeah. I don't know if you heard that. Oh, the glass is half full. Look at it. It's fat-full. Don't look at everything so fat, empty.
Wait, so what was the last one he won? The Tony Award?
No, he won the Emmy over the weekend.
Last one he won, he did win a Tony
Emmy.
I believe it was for Jesus Christ Superstar, was it not? Yeah. Everybody loved when he did that, which was really great. And also, some of the early Emmys were handed out over the weekend, including the Supporting Actor and Actress Awards. And for the first time ever, all four winners were black, including Tiffany Haddish for when she hosted Saturday Night Live, which was one of the greatest hosting jobs any human being has ever done on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, she was great.
Slayed. Like raised the bar so much. And I didn't even really know who Tiffany Haddish was before Saturday
Night
Live.
SNL, yeah.
Because, I mean, I knew
seen her perform.
I'd never seen her perform and just sit there and riff. And the whole thing with her dress and how she kept going back to that dress and wore it again even after that was just so brilliant. It was such a fantastic piece of comedy. So Tiffany Haddish won for hosting Saturday Night Live. But there you go. John Legend
as well.
EGOT winner. Yeah. I held off tweeting about this story until I could really wrap my head around it and watch what went down. And she was at the US Open and all sorts of words, meltdown, tirade, all these things were used to describe Serena Williams when she was going back and forth with the umpire, who wound up giving her a warning and then taking a penalty and then a game misconduct. So what happened was this, okay, is that the umpire originally gave her a warning because he saw her coach in the stands giving her gestures, coaching from the stands, which you're not allowed to do.
Right.
Okay, you're not allowed to coach from the stands. And that set Serena Williams off. And this is one of the confrontations between Serena Williams and the umpire after she was accused of coaching.
I didn't get coaching. You need to make an announcement that I didn't get coaching. I don't cheat. I didn't get coaching. How can you say that?
Okay, so that was the warning. The warning was given for coaching. However, let me point this out, that her coach said after the game that he was coaching.
Oh, did he?
Yes.
Oh.
Okay. So he was coaching from the stands, but he's like, everybody does it, but it's still illegal and you get a warning. So nothing happened from that. Derp. Then she broke her racket.
Yeah.
And that's when the penalty happened.
Okay.
Then the game penalty was triggered after she broke the racket when she went on another tirade, loudly accusing the umpire of being a thief and stealing points from her.
Oh, derp.
Derp is right. And he let the tirade slide, which was, I don't know a lot about what the umps have to deal with on a regular basis. Most players know that publicly attacking the honesty. So you can yell and you can debate your point. It was out. It was line. It was whatever. But you can't debate the honesty of the umpire. That's when things start going really, really badly for a player. And then calls that this was racist and that this was sexist and men wouldn't be treated this way. All this stuff happened. But the one narrative that was left out of most of what I was reading.
Yeah.
When people were saying that this was racist and this was sexist, one key element, which was this, in that match, Serena Williams was getting her ass handed to her, right? This did not cause Serena Williams to lose. Serena Williams was losing to a much better player that she's lost to before. That's why Serena Williams lost, not because of any of this stuff. This was a reaction to her gameplay.
Yeah.
In my opinion, after watching it.
She was frustrated.
Completely frustrated. And her coach was coaching from the stands because he could see that things were not going well.
And also he said he was.
Right. And also he said he was. Okay. But I just want to end it by saying this, because I think that when we talk about things like privilege and the word privilege, and this has nothing to do with race or sex or anything like that, I just want to talk about the world of tennis and how privileged they are to be able to do what they do and say what they say to a ref. Because in my head, I'm like, okay, let's move this to another sport. Let's take what Serena Williams said, where she basically accused the umpire, or let's say a ref, of cheating, of being biased, of deliberately taking away a point so she deliberately loses. If there was a player, man or woman, on a basketball court that got up in a ref's face and said those exact same things to a ref during a game, what happens to that player?
You're off the court, plus the NBA fines you.
What happens if you're on the ice, whether it's women's hockey or men's hockey, where a player gets up in a ref's face and you say exactly what Serena Williams did to that umpire?
You're off the ice, potentially suspended for a couple of games, and you get fined by the NHL.
Soccer?
Exact same thing. You're off the field.
Football?
Same thing.
Thank you.
Exact same thing.
Thank you. So she's coming at this from a place.
All these other sports, you would get some sort of a suspension from the game.
And you're out.
Future games.
You don't get to finish the game.
You don't get to finish the game. No. And you get a fine.
So let's just go right now and just understand the place where she gets to sort of live her life in the sport that she gets to live it, where you're allowed to call the ump a thief and not immediately get ejected from the game.
Yeah.
Right? That is like you're at a different level.
Really, your punishment really is a $17,000 fine.
Right, exactly. Nicki Minaj said on a radio show yesterday that if Cardi B keeps doing the Cardi B thing, meaning attacking people in public, she's going to die.
You put your hands on certain people, you going to die.
Wow.
Period.
Wow.
And y'all sitting here like making this shit a joke? I'm not the bitches in a strip club, and I'm not a bitch on a reality show. My money is very long, too.
Damn.
Yeah, she also said that Nicki found the incident mortifying because it occurred in front of, quote, upper echelon people who have their lives together. Nicki goes on to say, get this woman some help. This woman is at the best stage in her career, and she's out there throwing bottles and throwing shoes. Who is going to give her an intervention? So that was Nicki Minaj on Cardi B.
And you know what? Very calm about it, too.
You put your hands on certain people, you gonna die.
Mark Wahlberg released his daily schedule on Instagram. Did you see this?
No.
What he does throughout any particular day?
Oh my God, no. Like workouts and everything?
Yeah, workouts and everything.
Oh, I love this kind of stuff.
Okay.
Hit me.
Mark Wahlberg gets up at 2:30 a.m.
Yeah.
2:30 a.m. Then he blocks off time for prayer. Okay. By 3:15, he's having breakfast.
Hold on.
His first workout is 3:45 to 5:15.
Hold on.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Okay, 2:30 a.m.
Yeah.
Then he prays. Dear God, why'd you get me up at 2:15?
And then God 3:15, so you can get swole, bro.
3:15, he's having breakfast.
Yeah.
His first workout is 3:40 to 5:15. Then he showers. Wow. At 7:30, he plays golf.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then at 8, he has a snack, I'm assuming while he's golfing. Otherwise, that's a really short round. At 9:30, he goes to a cryo chamber for recovery. Then at 10:30, he has another snack. At 11:30, he does a combination of family time, meetings, and work calls. At 1 p.m., he has lunch. Seems sort of late for lunch, but okay, considering he got up like 8.5 hours before lunch. At 2 p.m., he has more meetings and calls. At 3, he picks up his kids from school. At 3:30, he has another snack. At 4, he does a second one-hour workout, then showers again. Has dinner and family time at 5:30, followed by 7:30 bedtime.
Wow! Yo! Mark Wahlberg is living his best life.
Yeah, or Mark Wahlberg doesn't trust himself.
There's that, right? Too, yeah.
It's National Video Game Day, and yes. They did a new poll on people's favorite video games of all time. At number 10, Crash Bandicoot. Number 9, Halo. Number 8, Final Fantasy. Number 7, Sonic the Hedgehog. Number 6, Zelda. Number 5, Pokemon. Number 4, Grand Theft Auto. Number 3, Donkey Kong. Number 2, Call of Duty. And number 1, overwhelmingly with 47% of the votes.
Can we guess?
Super Mario Brothers.
Oh, I was going to say Tetris.
There's no guess. There is no guess.
How's
Super
Tetris
Mario
not
Brothers.
On there?
I don't know. Yeah,
everyone plays
call.
Tetris.
Yeah, I don't know why Tetris isn't on there. Remember The Help, that movie The Help?
Yes.
Nominated for a ton of Academy Awards.
Octavia Spencer.
Viola Davis.
Viola Davis, yeah.
Viola Davis came out yesterday to say that she regretted doing the movie.
Are you serious?
Yep.
It was like praised, though, that
yeah.
movie.
Yeah. She said, I just felt at the end of the day that it wasn't the voices of the maids that were heard. I know Abilene. I know Minnie. They're my grandma. They're my mom. This is what she told the New York Times. Meaning that the story was told from the white woman who was writing the book.
Yeah.
And she was writing the book about The Help. And Viola Davis now feels that the narrative in that story was wrong, that it shouldn't have been told that way, that it should have been told from the point of The Help, not the voice of the white woman who was trying to do right by them, quote unquote. And Ava DuVernay, who's a filmmaker now, said that she was a publicist and she did publicity for that movie, The Help.
Yeah.
And she said that was what put her out of the business of publicity, because that was the movie.
Really?
That was the movie that encouraged her to become a filmmaker and tell different stories. That she hated it so much,
really?
That it actually got her out of that world to go in and make the films that she wanted to make with the voices that she felt needed to be heard.
Do you think because the story's blown up so much that they would redo the movie?
No, but you can't, because it's based on a book, right? Like, that's what it was. That's what that's what the book was.
But they would never try to do it in a way where, as Viola Davis said, like
no.
The point of view of her character.
No, and I don't think that there's a point in doing that. But it's really interesting, because I understand maybe you have regrets over stuff that you had done, like if this sort of movie came out maybe in the 90s, but this was 2011.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that long ago.
Yeah.
Hey, have you been following this Olivia Munn story with the Predator?
Sort of.
Okay, so this all went down just before the film festival started, because they were bringing the Predator to the film festival.
Yeah.
And she had said right before the festival started that she was mad at the director and at the movie company, because the director hired a friend of his to be in the movie.
Okay.
And the friend was a registered sex offender who had done time.
Oh, wow.
And so Olivia went to the director and went to Fox executives, and they cut the scene that he was in with her. She acted in a scene with him.
Oh, okay.
In the movie. And they cut the scene. And then the story goes that she had informed the other cast members of this.
Hey, guess what? This guy did this.
And then I guess she says that Fox chastised her for doing that. So this is Olivia Munn talking to Ellen yesterday about what went down and her reaction and the reaction from the cast members.
The public, social media, fans, strangers on the street, all of the news outlets have been extremely supportive. And that's such a gift because it's not an easy situation to be in. When I did find out, and he was a 38-year-old man at the time, it happened about 10 years ago. He's 38 years old and went after a 14-year-old female relative. And when I found that out, I did call Fox and I said we have to delete the scene. And they did, thankfully. And then I did reach out to my co-stars and I got chastised the next day by people at the studio for telling them and why am I not just, you know, just keeping it quiet. It's all going to be okay. It got deleted. What's the big deal? And I said, well, I mean, it happened. And the people who collude to keep people like this in positions of power, that's the real problem. The people who keep turning blind eyes, especially when it's you. I think that people expected me to be quiet because it was my movie. But the truth is, I don't care. Like, I don't care if this movie gave me all the money in the world and all the power. Like, if it costs one person's life, like, they can take it. I don't want this career. Yep.
And so what happened during that day, though, when she was doing press for it, is that she started out doing press with all the cast members. Some of the cast members had to leave, but sort of one by one, the cast members started bailing on her doing press.
Wow. Really?
And so by the end of the day, she was sitting there doing press alone talking about this.
Oh, no.
And
isn't Sterling K. Brown is in that?
Sterling K. Brown came out with his statement, I think, like maybe Monday, like way after the fact. Uh-huh. And then Boyd Holbrook came out yesterday with his statement. The director, Shane Black, I think has yet to apologize to her personally. He sent out something publicly. But let me just read you one thing, because I know the question is, how can you allow a sex offender to be in a movie? How can a movie studio allow a sex offender to be hired? This is what Fox had sent out in response to that. They say, "We were not aware of his background during the casting process due to legal limitations that impede studios from running background checks on actors."
What?
Yeah, they're not allowed.
Come on.
They're not allowed.
That's not the BS to me, man.
They're not allowed. Union rules, whatever rules, you're not allowed to do background checks on actors. So when you hear these stories of these people being cast or their producers or whatever.
But the director knew, right?
The director knew. He was trying to help out his friend, but the studio wasn't allowed to check. They're
but
not
the
allowed to do.
The director knew.
Yes. Oh, it's totally the director's fault. He knew. Like, he fully knew. Yeah. He had hired him before for another movie.
So the studio could have fired that director then.
But they didn't know. Because they're not allowed to check.
Nah.
Roz and Mocha Q&A.
This has quickly become the most popular and everybody's favorite segment on the podcast, Ask Roz and Mocha.
Hello.
Because literally there's no time constraint to this. This doesn't happen on the radio. You can't get this on the live show. It is a podcast exclusive.
And you guys get a lot of questions, which is real great. If you're wondering how to take part in this, we will post on Instagram once a week, usually on Wednesday, I believe it is.
Yeah, at Kiss925.
A picture that just simply reads, Ask Roz and Mocha. You ask your question in the comment section. We will do our best to get to it during this segment and also try and get to a couple of people that can be on the phone and ask their question live with us on the podcast.
Yes. Lisa, hello there.
Good morning, guys.
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. I recognize your name because you basically ask a question like almost every single week.
Yeah. Actually, you guys are the only podcast that I listen to, and I listen to it on my drive home.
Oh, that's so nice. Thank you. All right,
yeah,
so
you're welcome.
Lisa, what is your question this week?
So basically, it's what is your biggest fear? Because mine is something silly, like if I dream that my teeth fall out, I wake up crying and screaming, and I'm like a total sweaty mess.
Really?
So is yours like dying, or what's your biggest fear?
Like, are we talking irrational fears in this? Because I don't think your teeth falling out should be like a regular sort of fear, but that's just something that freaks you out, and you're sort of irrational about it, right?
Yeah, but even let's say, like, I've never had a cavity or anything. So even if I were to get a cavity or have to, like, I have a wisdom tooth coming in for some reason at 30. So if I have to get that tooth pulled, that like, just absolutely terrifies me.
Right. We talked about this years ago on the show where when I was younger, I would lie in bed. And when you're younger, your head just starts sort of going to all these like real dark places. And I had thought of something once and then it just stuck with me for my whole life, which was flipsies, which was that I would wake up in the morning and my elbows and knees would be bending the wrong way.
That's
right?
So gross.
and then I would have to go to school like that, where my and live life like that, where my elbows and knees only bent the wrong way,
backwards. Oh, that's so gross. Right?
Yeah, yeah. So something like that. I had a friend who had an irrational fear, and it was this thing that she had thought of again when she was a little kid. I think that's where we do most of these creative thinking exercises, where you freak yourself out and you carry it into your life. So I had a friend who was terrified of something that she created in her head called cornback. And what cornback was, is she thought that you could go to sleep at night, and then if you woke up in the morning, you could have like corn on your back. Like your whole back would be covered in corn, where people could pick off like the corn
that
niblets
is so gross.
On your back. But if they picked one off, like if a doctor picked one off, another one would grow where it was. But so your whole back, you'd have to live your life with like corn back.
Ew,
and somebody would,
that's so gross.
Yeah, no matter how hard you tried, like you could pick them all off like kernels of corn, and they would just sort of grow back over time. Is that not disgusting?
Yeah, that sounds like a horror movie.
Yeah.
Like an episode of Black Mirror.
Right.
That is disgusting.
Do you have any irrational fears like that?
Hold on. Before I give an answer, I want to read to you, Lisa, because you said about your teeth falling out. Have you ever looked it up?
It means fear of money or something, or going broke or bills.
Here's what I'm reading on online. A common dream interpretation for teeth falling out sees this symbol as a representation of the fear of aging or becoming less efficient or productive. In other words, it would point to the loss of your means to fully bite into life, to break down what life brings you. Does that make sense at all to you?
Well, it does, because I'm 30 and pregnant.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Hey, to me, I'm behind.
Go. Well, congratulations.
There you go.
Okay, so are we talking? We're talking like irrational fears?
Do you have any irrational fears, Maury?
Yeah, so I have two. I've never talked about this with anyone before. When I'm in the shower, sometimes I will purposely point my feet inward because I'm really afraid. Because when I'm in bed, you sleep and your feet go outwards. So when I shower in the morning, I point my feet forcefully inward because I don't want my feet to stay pointing outward.
So when you lie in bed on your back, you put your feet to point your toes to the left and the right, like how Charlie Chaplin used to stand.
Yeah,
like that's
like
very
a cartoon.
Who sleeps like that?
Well,
like
because of the weight of the blanket, I have no choice.
But why don't you just like kind of stack them on? Like that's really weird. And so you think overnight that your feet are going to stay like that. So when you're in the shower, you try and reverse the damages that have happened to you in bed. So you point your toes like pigeon toed, your toes forward in the shower.
Yeah, so that they'll go back to normal.
That's hard on
and
the hips.
When I'm driving a lot of the times, or just while I'm lying in bed reading, I have an overbite. So I'll put the lower jaw over the top jaw and rest it there, because I'm really worried that if I don't, my lower jaw will eventually fall off because of the overbite.
I have that fear too. Losing your jaw. I thought of that when I was a kid.
Losing your jaw?
Yeah, just like losing your bottom jaw.
Because it's only hanging on by the
because it's just not, like, I didn't understand how the jaw worked, right?
Yeah.
Like, what is holding this thing together, right? Yeah, it's not a lot.
So you had a fear that your jaw would fall off.
That it would just fall, but it wouldn't fall out of my head. It would just be like down in my neck, like in my neck skin, right? So my face skin would be sitting there with my lips, like just the lip skin, but only my jaw bone would be like down where my neck meets my collarbone. And so this would all just be hanging here.
So you got to start doing what I do and resting your lower jaw on the top jaw.
Oh my God, that is disgusting. Hey, Lisa, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast.
Thanks, guys.
Really appreciate it.
Oh
my God.
Gross.
Y'all are disgusting. Yeah. All right. Amy wants to know, what's the most important lesson you hope to teach your children?
What is the most important lesson you want to teach your children? Jeez, man. And once they start to get a little bit older, you realize that they learn a lot of things on their own. And as long as they have a desire to learn, you just sort of steer them in the right direction. But I think that if there's just three things, I would say that, you know, you need to get yourself through life is to work harder than the person next to you. Be kind when you can, and listen more than you talk.
Oh, that's a good one. So two out of the three that you just mentioned is what I would want instill on our son Cruz, which is number one, first and foremost, always be nice.
Yeah.
Number two would be to show compassion, be compassionate to other people.
Yeah.
And number three, because The Rock says this,
yeah,
but be the hardest worker in the room.
Yeah, and I think and also I want a funny kid, and kids are real funny too. And one thing that I said to Roxy, you know, years ago, and I've said it to her many times since, because what we do on this show, we do comedy on this show, and so much of our lives revolves around getting a laugh. And there's nothing wrong with getting a laugh, and there's nothing wrong with goofing on your friends, and there's nothing wrong with finding humor in things. But my only rule, really, for comedy or making a joke or finding humor is just don't make fun of something that somebody can't help.
Right.
Don't find humor in somebody who's poor. Don't find humor in somebody who has a limp. Don't find humor in somebody who is blind or has difficulty doing something based on something they can't help.
Sure.
Somebody who's a jerk and can't do all those things, for sure, find humor in that. But don't make fun of something for somebody that they can't help.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's my only rule.
Maddie wants to know, if you could pick up any new skill today, what skill would you want? Damn it, Maury, go.
Drumming.
Drumming, really?
Yeah, you want to be a drummer?
I've always wanted to drum.
Why?
Always. I just find drummers are the sexiest guy usually in the band.
So you want to drum because you think it'll make you sexy?
Well, I just felt like drummers, like they always have the beat, you know, they're going and everybody always stares at the drummer and they always get their own solo.
Right.
They always get their own time.
Yeah, that's just, so you think that you'd be a drummer and then you'd join a band?
Wait, you would leave this show to be a drummer?
I could do some nighttime gigs and stuff, right?
Okay, so just like a cover band kind of thing.
Oh, and just have that drum solo? Like, I often drum when I'm
watching
driving.
Watching you pantomime drumming is hysterical, by the way.
Oh, and I do it at concerts, too, and on the steering wheel almost all the time.
Do something on the... drop the pen right now.
Can I do the sound, too, with my mouth?
No. Just drum on the table with your hands.
It just sounds like you're making a noise of a horse running.
No, it sounds like it's so inconsistent. It sounds like hail.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like there's no rhythm to that at all. Try again.
Okay. By the way, this is the solo from In the Air Tonight from Phil Collins.
No, just do a beat. Just do a beat.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ah, there's that hail again.
Yeah. you don't have very much rhythm, huh?
Well, I haven't picked up the skill yet.
Rhythm. Not drumming. But like rhythm is counting.
Yeah, but you see the problem is you're not in my head.
Right, true. I beg to differ, by the way. I take up a lot of space
now,
in your
head.
Now,
hold on. Can I do it one more time with the sound?
Okay. What's the sound that you make?
From my mouth.
But what sound do you make? Not where does the sound come from?
So I'd be like...
Okay, go. Right. Okay. Moving on.
You killed it.
You killed
it. You could pick up any new skill today. What would you want, Roz?
Me, drumming. No, I'm kidding.
So you could just be better at it than Maury?
Yeah, no, I would be, if I could pick up any new skill, because I don't need to do anything for work, so this would just be things that would make my life easier.
Yeah.
And I would, if I could leave this show every day and go and train with master carpenters, I would do that.
Yeah.
I would do that. I have that desire. I just need to build things.
Oh, yeah. Can I add one more skill?
Yeah.
Baking.
Okay. Good one. That's a good skill. Mocha?
Mixed martial arts.
Mixed martial arts.
Yeah,
right,
for sure.
Yes.
Right there.
100%.
I've never understood that term.
What? Mixed martial arts?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it's mixed with what?
Martial arts.
What do you mean?
It's all different types of martial arts.
You think it's martial arts mixed with something? Like mixed with what? Like what? But like what? Like gravy? Like what is it mixed with?
Like, I don't know if you're doing, if it's like mixed martial arts. Like we're going to do martial arts and dancing.
No.
Is that what makes it mixed?
No. Well, first of all.
When have you ever seen somebody do mixed martial arts followed up by dancing?
Well, I've never gone to a class.
Right. Well, first of all, martial art, who created the whole system, didn't intend for it to be mixed with anything other than its own art.
So when he died, then they picked up the term.
Then they picked up the term, correct. Yeah, martial art. Famous guy, look him up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Martial art.
Yeah.
Write it down.
No, mixed martial arts, Maury, means that it's a mix of many martial arts. So mixed martial arts is taekwondo mixed with karate, mixed with Muay Thai, mixed with Brazilian jiu-jitsu, mixed with judo, mixed with boxing. So mixed martial arts, MMA, means that these fighters are trained in multiple disciplines, and then that's, they becomes
but only
its
part
own.
Of it was created by Marshall.
Right. Yeah.
Look them up. What else we got here, Roz?
Hold on here. Let me find something. How do you know it's the right time to leave a job?
Ooh.
Oh, boy.
I would have to say when, I don't even know. I was going to say like when you're just like dreading going in every day and you hate your job, you hate the people that you work with, and it affects your life outside of work and it interferes with your personal life. But you know what? For a lot of people who are listening right now, that's their every day.
It's life.
No, but there's also other signs too, right? Like if you, you email your boss or something and they are on a regular basis passing work on to somebody else or not getting back to you or just being very like, yeah, don't worry, somebody else will take care of it. Like there are signs that, you know, it's time to go.
Yeah, I just say that your gut will tell you, you know, and I don't think it has to do with happiness because the vast majority of people in this world are miserable when they go to work every day.
Yeah, for sure.
So you can't quit because you're unhappy. It has to be a better reason. I would just say this, and maybe I'm old school. Don't quit a job without having something else lined up. Don't make yourself unemployed out of spite. You know, unless something really horrific is going on at work.
Yeah,
you're
no, for sure.
Verbally or physically abused or overworked or taken a severe advantage of.
Yeah.
But never walk away from a job unless you have something else going on. What else do we have here? What's your best advice for a first date?
Okay.
Okay, we'll defer to the expert, Dan Amore, who goes
to our love and relationship expert on the Roz and Mocha Show.
Who goes on many first dates once a week.
I remember I used to go on a lot of first dates, and there's one time.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you whispering? Because not everyone will hear me.
Okay.
I once hired like a dating service where they like send you on dates.
Like an escort.
No. Like a company where they set you up. Okay, today you're going out with Bill. Tomorrow it's, you know, Travis, and then
escorts.
No, not an escort. Like they are also looking to meet somebody. Like it's like a dating.
Wait, so you were the escort? Yeah, and you had a pimp?
No, it's a company that would, you know, like a.
Did you pay?
Like eHarmony.
Did you pay?
Kind of thing.
Did you pay?
I was supposed to.
But you're supposed to pay.
Yeah.
It's for an escort.
No. No, it's
did that other person pay?
Yes.
So you're an escort.
No. And you had a pimp.
Okay.
Did you talk to somebody on the phone that set you up with these dates, or was it via text, via email?
No, it was like you went in and you met with them or something like that, and they were like, okay, what are you looking for? What kind of person you're looking for? And then they're, you know, because it's like you're looking for, a relationship.
Oh,
and
okay, hold on here. Stop calling it it's a matchmaker.
Yes,
is what it
that's
is.
That's what I said.
Okay, no, that's not what you said.
The way you were describing it, it sounded like
you used a service to go out on dates. That's escorts.
Yeah, or like you met someone, that person became your pimp, and then you had to go
like matchmaking.
Matchmaking. Okay.
Okay.
Not pimping.
No.
Okay.
No,
so you used a service.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
And I wish I still had this, but I created a CD where I talked about myself, and I would give it to the guy I went on a date with. I'm like, go home and listen to this.
You don't have that anymore? Please tell me you have that somewhere.
I'm going to have to go and look again. It was a CD. It was in the title, like, All You Need to Know About Maury. And I would sit there. I'm like, hi, how's it going? It's Maury. So I'm...
Was this audio or video?
Audio.
Audio, okay.
Audio, and I'm like, so I love the color blue. Okay. Really?
That was your opener? I love the color blue.
So because I was sick and tired of talking about myself, so I was like, go home and listen to the CD for our next date, you know, that way you know all about me because you've listened to the CD.
So you would go out on a date with somebody, and then when the date was over, you'd hand them a CD of you talking and describing yourself?
Yeah, it never worked.
Okay, so back to the question. What's your best advice for a first date? Maury says, record everything you need to know about you on a CD and hand it to somebody at the end of a date.
Yeah.
And you recommend starting off with something like,
what's your favorite color?
Rice. I like
blue.
Can you
think of anything, Ross? Craziest thing you've done to impress someone?
I haven't really done a lot of things to impress someone because I'm just naturally impressive, I think, that I haven't really had to go out of my
way. Have you ever had your phone ring and you pretend it's like something very important just to impress the person you're on a date with? Like,
no,
oh my God, really? Yeah, let me help you out with that right now. Excuse me just for a second.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, you hit F3 and then you enter the code.
Your version of an important call is telling somebody...
It's to be
a Windows shortcut, it's like your IT
for someone.
Maury, can I just tell you something right now? If I was out on a date with somebody, and they got a call right late at night on a date, okay, and on that call, they were telling somebody to hit F3, I would think the exact opposite, that this person was important.
Yeah, big time.
Important people don't get called for questions that the answer is F3 late at night.
You work in IT, and tonight is the night that you are on call overnight.
But then it makes you look important because, like, only you could answer this. So you're like, excuse me, I gotta take this call.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, jeez. Anyway, so that's first date advice.
Here, we'll end on this.
Yeah.
All right. This comes to us from David. If you could live in the world of any TV show or movie, what would you choose?
Golden Girls.
I knew you were going to say Golden Girls.
Why Golden Girls? To live there.
To live there with the women? Oh, it would be so fantastic. Like, you'd have constant conversation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
but what about love and romance and adventure?
They had lots of men in and out of that.
No, but you would be in that show.
Well, the only other show I can come up with is Law and Order. I could live with Mariska Hargitay.
Oh, no, you'd be the guy that gets charged.
For sure.
Yeah.
We know you did it. We saw the CD where you said your favorite color was blue. We heard you tell someone on the phone to press F3.
God, I wouldn't want to live in Law and Order, SVU. What are you going to, like, you spend the rest of your life investigating sexual crimes? That's fun to you?
I love Mariska Hargitay. But no, I
said
Golden Girls.
But it's not Mariska Hargitay. It's Olivia Benson in that show.
Yeah, so can
right?
I stick with the Golden Girls, please?
Yeah, but you want to spend the rest, you would go and put yourself in a home with, like, four senior citizen women? Out of all the adventure you could have?
Yeah, but think of all the cheesecake you'd have.
So much fun, bro.
Right? Like, in my head, I'm like, God, what show were they, you know, just wild and adventurous and...
Like Entourage?
Like Uninhibited
or
and...
The Sopranos.
No, I see, I don't know anything about The Sopranos. God.
Sex in the City.
But, like, they wouldn't hang out with you. You would be like one of the guys that they just talk terribly about over breakfast.
Oh.
And lunch and dinner. And
so
lunch.
I'd be like the gay friend.
You'd be like the gay friend. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I
so
guess. Yeah.
Back to the old folks home.
Okay. So Maury's back to Golden Girls.
Live in the world of any TV show or movie.
God, it's tough. Give me a TV show where they like...
Game of Thrones? Would you live in that world?
Hell no, there's dragons, mofo!
And don't they sleep with each... Like, isn't there incest?
Yeah, I have sex with my sister, and then I gotta fight a dragon, and then somebody else cuts my wiener off. Like...
Yeah, that sounds like a terrible day.
No, thank you! And everything's cold and wet.
I know. Yeah. What about Back to the Future?
I was literally wondering if you were going to say you're going to live with Doc.
Yeah. I would say... it's not live with somebody. It's like live in that
live
world.
Live in that world, yeah. Yeah, but you wouldn't be Marty. You would just be living in 1950 whatever.
1955?
Yeah. Like, what? The DeLorean wouldn't be yours.
No, couldn't I be friends with Marty and be like, hey, dude, let's hop in the car.
But that's not part of it. You'd live in that world and you'd have to go and try and be friends with Marty.
I could do that.
Yeah.
So basically, no, hold on, to go back. So I'm not living with the Golders. I'm just living in Miami in the 80s.
Yeah.
Bro, you fit right in.
Fantastic.
All right. Ask Roz and Mocha every week. We'll post a picture on Instagram every Wednesday, actually.
F3.
F3, right, Maury?
At KISS925. Feel free to ask your question, and you have the opportunity to ask your question with us on the podcast. Don't forget, wherever it is that you get your podcast from, the Roz and Mocha podcast, feel free to leave a rating and or review. We would appreciate that through Apple Podcasts, Google Play, all that good stuff. New episode next week.
Thanks for listening to the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Catch the guys live weekday mornings from 6 to 10
on KISS 92.5.
KISS925.com
or on the KISS 92.5 app.